Open wide for Chunky.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
I got such a sweet girl. Again, I'm such a good catchin'. Like, people think, like, I'm surfacey or whatever, but I think when it comes down to it, just, like, the truth is that, like, yeah, you know, people are mean to me, you know, sometimes when, because of the way I look, you know, and I mean, it sounds, like, so stupid, but, like, people hate me because I'm beautiful, you know, like, and that is, sounds so horrible, you know, but, like, that is, like, a real thing, you know, and it's a curse, as much as it is, a blessing to be pretty. I mean, like, no matter what, like, there is a huge, like, prejudice and racism, and when it comes down to it, like, that's why, you know, this didn't work out, you know, just because, like, if I would have just been a little uglier and a little less noticeable, it's just, you know, really sad.
And now,
look, first of all, women are not people. They are devices built by the Lord Jesus Christ for our entertainment.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new song.
I'm back.
Sing it if you know it.
Bitches. Women are equal and they deserve respect. Just kidding, they should suck my...
All right, no, I can't play any more of that. That's just part of it.
That's
a rough start.
And by rough, you mean fantastic?
Is that the Show Me Your Genitals song?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we haven't played that one in a while. The phone lines are open, by the way, for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to get on the air. Win a valuable prize this Thursday morning.
What's happening, everybody?
Okay.
Thinking about Ralph Garman and his next job. You see the story yesterday that Playboy magazine may be up for sale?
No.
Really?
Yes. Well, you know, they've been having hard times. There's
I've
a lot of competition.
Hard times.
A lot of competition for porn. B,
sure.
Much of it is free.
Yeah.
And they've just been losing money like hand over fist. I think they lost something close to $150 million in the fourth quarter of last year.
Wow.
And they've been having troubles. So they're talking about selling it. Selling the whole thing, not just the magazine, the whole Playboy enterprise, the, you know, cable channel, the TV shows, and everything.
The house?
Oh, I know. I think that's half. So I think he stays there.
Well, that's not right. Whoever owns Playboy should be in that house.
Absolutely.
Should own the mansion. That's a great point.
That has to be part of the deal.
I'm sure Ralph would want that. I mean, come on. If he's going to take over the...
It's like when you buy a house and you go, look, I'll buy it, but I want that refrigerator. And you go, okay, you can have the refrigerator.
What, it's sort of like that, sure, yeah, except for it's the guy's house.
Well, yeah, but... I mean, in terms of the value of everything, it's like a refrigerator.
But Hugh Hefner doesn't live in a refrigerator is what Kevin's saying.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Oh.
I do hope that – I think you're right, Kevin. I think the mansion needs to be part of it because that's the iconic portion. That and the bunny, you know, the bunny logo
right.
are the iconic parts of the Playboy Empire. But
and
they
the
ought to
let Hef
live it out. You know what I mean? Like you don't evict him. He gets to still live in the house even if they sell the company.
Does he still get to pretend that he like picks women for photo shoots so they'll still be there? Because how fast are those twins or triplets or whoever he has going to leave?
That's a good point.
They're in love.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, here's the other question, though. If Ralph's able to buy the whole thing and starts to run the Playboy Empire, can he move in?
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's a huge house.
Okay.
I don't see any reason why he couldn't live there also.
With Hef. Yeah, that's what I mean.
He'd love that. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not talking about Ralph. I'm talking about Hef. I mean, is that how it would work?
Yeah, I think Hef is old enough that you just let him live out his years. You just give him a pillow in the corner and just let him stay there.
Yeah, you know? I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Okay. Well, first thing I thought was great news for Ralph if he can get the cash together. It looks like for the first time ever, it's up for sale. I mean, I think Hef's run that company for 55 years, and it'd be a big deal if he finally let it go.
How about that? I wonder what it's going to go for.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to own it, I'll tell you that.
That's a rough business to get into right now.
Rough business, yeah.
But good.
And by the way, President Obama, if you're handing out bailouts, how about a little Hugh Hefner's way while we talk about a guy who really does deserve it?
Great American.
Yes.
Absolutely. It used to be so hard to find access to naked pictures of women of the quality of Playboy chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, it's one click away. I mean, porn stars, real porn stars, are getting so hot now.
Yeah, it's true.
It's tough to make it, you know, for Playboy now.
Right.
Would you just close down the magazine if you owned it?
No way. You'd figure out a way. That's what I'm saying. That is a service that needs to be provided for Americans.
I want somebody to buy it and figure out a way to make it profitable. I just don't think I could do it in this competitive environment. Yeah. That's for sure. But I wish them and especially all of the 19-year-old girlfriends the best.
Good luck to all of them.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew? Rain in L.A. and Orange County means snow in the mountains, and K-Rock has another big day of Bear Mountain coming up on February the 28th. You get lift tickets for that and a $50 gift card to Burton Snowboard's flagship store. That's on Melrose. All of that just for being on the air with us for Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Jennifer in San Dimas. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning, guys. What it do, nephews?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
What's going on?
So we go to Vegas over the weekend, and we go to a strip club, and my husband has on a K-Rock shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And this stripper, as she's giving him a lap dance, goes, "Oh, K-Rock, do you know Bean?" And he's like, and we both just kind of like look at each other.
Yes.
And he's like, "Well, yeah, we listen to it all the time." And she's like, "Yeah, kind of short, bald guy." And we both
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
That we know where this is coming from.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. It's our friend Bald Brad.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Using Bean's name in the strip club.
Listen, I've told Bald Brad, you could be either of us. I don't care. Just have
fun. I care a great deal. Yeah, be Kevin, Brad. Unbelievable. What awful, despicable things did he do to that woman?
I don't know, but we were just dying. He couldn't even finish his lap dance because we were laughing so hard.
That is the best thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
I'm so glad you called to tell us that story, Jennifer. And by the way, you're the best wife in the world going to a strip club with your husband, man. Way to go.
You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, you rule. Thank you for the call.
How about that? That's funny. Let's try Ed in El Segundo. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ed. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? How you guys doing this morning?
Good. What's going on?
I was just listening last week on the podcast about no one knows what's happening with 3D, but the rumor is James Cameron's working on 3D with no glasses.
Yeah, we were talking about how it's still the dark ages when it comes to 3D. You still got to wear those stupid plastic glasses. How can they not have made, you know, enough steps, technological steps to make it work? Without him. But he's working on that for a movie?
Yeah, I think it's for the new Avatar movie he's working on.
Yeah, Avatar. I mean, is this his first actual movie? I mean, he's made some documentary things, but this is his first actual movie since Titanic, right?
Correct.
That's how long he's been working on this, and apparently he's known for his innovations on the film set and his inventions and things like that. Apparently it's just going to visually blow us away because this guy has come up with so many new things in the years since that Titanic has made.
Awesome.
I haven't heard that there's even a way to make 3D without the glasses, but if anyone could figure it out, it would be him. I'm curious to see what he does.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you very much.
That's a good call. Let's go to Mike in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Mike. What it do?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I was listening to your radio yesterday, and I was wondering, how are stoners going to petition Kellogg when you're going to get high and forget and then get hungry again?
That's a really good point.
We were talking to a guy about boycotting, and I have another question about Kellogg's, and that is, I had Cocoa Pebbles today, Kellogg product, didn't buy it, but it's in my cabinet. What am I supposed to do?
If it's already in the house, that's
fair.
Yeah, it's fair game. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, Rice Krispie treats are so delicious.
I hear you.
They make a lot of great stuff. There's no question.
This is not a boycott that won't hurt. I'll tell you that.
By the way, Mike, do yourself a favor and everybody else who's interested in this story. For folks who didn't hear yesterday, Kellogg's is pro-pot groups are urging their members and people who support them to boycott Kellogg's because Kellogg's dropped Michael Phelps for the bong photo. Go to Joe Rogan's website and check out his strongly worded letter to Kellogg's.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It is, it's 25 pages long. He was clearly stoned and had no editing capability when he wrote it, but it is funny, and he does speak for a lot of people about how he feels about the boycott.
I love Joe.
All right, let's go to George in Los Angeles. Good morning, George. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
All right, so I got the funniest story, man. I'm ordering food at a drive-thru, right, at Wendy's,
mm-hmm.
and I ordered two meals, one for my daughter and one for myself,
mm-hmm.
and the douchebag over the drive-thru puts my meal in my daughter's Happy Meal bag, right?
Right.
So then when I go look for my meal, I'm looking for my burger, and I'm like, where's my burger at? So then I'm just driving out the drive-thru, so I just stop right there, and I get off the car, and I go tell the dude on the street, on the window, I'm like, hey, you forgot to put my burger in my bag. And he's like, you sure I didn't put it in the bag? I'm like, dude, would I be getting off my car and coming over here if it was in my bag? Yeah, he's just going back and forth. And then I'm.
Hey, George, can I interrupt you for just 1 second? Because I just want to remind you, you did promise this was the best story ever, okay?
Oh, but I mean, I felt like a little Christian Bale for a second, man. Because, I mean, I'm telling the guy over the drive-thru like a million things.
Right.
Like, oh, you're so fat. Let's just milk my burger, bro. I'm just going, oh,
wait a minute,
man.
You're yelling at the drive-thru guy, you're so fat?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say at the moment, and I'm just going back and forth with him. And then, you know, I walk back to my car, and I look inside my daughter's bag, and it's there.
There it is.
So once I get in my car, I feel like a complete douchebag myself, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, you were a complete douchebag the whole time. You just felt like it at the end.
Right. You were the last person in that story to realize it. That's all.
That was a well-told story, so thank you for calling.
I would like to hear it again.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
All right.
We are going to have Michael Irwin on, who is...
Oh, dear God.
That's okay. Now you can move on. You don't have to say it.
We're going to have Michael Irwin on, who is from CareerBuilder.com. We talked to him last week, I think, about the germiest jobs,
mm-hmm.
of which ours is way up on the list. About recession-proof industries, places where you can always find jobs.
That's a good thing to know.
So that's coming up. We
like the unemployment office, for instance, always hiring.
We're going to talk to Adam Sessler from G4, talking about Street Fighter 4 and Grand Theft Auto 4.
Mm-hmm.
We already have some kind of a death grudge match between Psycho Mike and Dave the King of Mexico for
really?
Street Fighter.
It's stupid. I don't even know why you would challenge me.
Wait. Meaning who's better at playing the game?
Yes.
Is that
why?
That's Street Fighter. Right. Street Fighter would be a different
Street
game
Farter.
Entirely.
Yeah.
That's Adam about that. That's
champion
could,
of that.
Could be
new. We're also going to have the winner of the Daytona 500 in the studio
How
today.
About that?
Wow.
Matt Kenseth.
Cool.
That's NASCAR a big deal driver. Right there. Yeah.
So that's very cool. And Ralph is trying to get something going in Southern California. I mean, he's not behind it, but he's trying to throw his weight behind it. And it's the Snuggy Pub Crawl.
Oh, no.
And that just seems
I
like two things that
and I don't think I'm doing
they
it.
They don't really need to go together, those two things.
No.
You don't want to get together with other people wearing Snuggies for an evening out, Lisa?
Not
Come on.
Really.
No. From bar to bar? No.
No.
And we got K-Rock's World Tour Destination number 4. We're going to give you tickets to see Coldplay when they come to Home Depot. And you'll qualify for Coldplay in Norway, which we will give
Could
away.
Could you please stop talking about Norway?
We just started. And we'll give that away on Monday morning at 7:20. Ralph is next with the show.
Hey!
I don't think so. Not sure, but I don't think so. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Good morning, Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Remember we were talking about my new infatuation with Blu-ray? How much
yes.
I'm in love with Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we said, what's next? You know, when does this become obsolete? When are we going to have to move on to something else? Well, apparently it's right around the corner.
What?
Got this email from Robert, listener Robert, who works for ABC, so he knows what he's talking about.
Okay.
Long-time listener, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the Blu-ray is solid. Makes DVDs feel a little bit like Laserdiscs now, but a couple years from now, the hot thing will be super high vision.
Super high vision?
Never heard of it.
It is... 4 times the resolution of Blu-ray.
Come on.
4 times the resolution.
At what point is it too much?
Does it actually be better quality than the emulsion of a movie shot on 35 millimeter can produce for your television screen?
And that's going to be available to us, the consumer,
yes.
within a couple of years?
Yes. They're working on it currently in Japan. No surprise.
So screw Blu-ray. Don't even bother getting a Blu-ray player, right?
And start he sent me a link discs. To a story, right? And he says here they shot, take a super high-vision camera, was set up 3 meters away from a scene that they were filming. So 3 meters, what's that, about?
10 feet.
Yeah,
about
9, 10
feet. Okay. They shoot a scene that includes one of the actors reading a newspaper. When they played it back on super high-vision, you could read the stories printed on the newspaper that the person was holding. Super,
wow.
Super high-vision is the name of the...
So, by the time this technology gets to our home screens, assuming you know we can afford TVs good enough to show that, it'll be like something that's in real life in your living room, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's not going to be much difference between the stuff in your living room and what you're looking at on the screen. It'll all look like it's right in front of your face.
Psycho Mike will be cutting holes in his screen. I'm telling you, that's how
wow.
like
wow.
people will look. Yeah.
Bean will lose even more touch with reality as he retreats into
his
TV world.
He's going to put a helmet on, a Super High Vision helmet. He'll just, everything will happen virtually. It'll be awesome.
And then we'll get that, and then 2 years later, there'll be a hologram type of a TV, and we just, there's no way
and
to keep up.
There'll be blue Super High Vision
ray.
Deaf ray. And then just, let us beam the signal directly into your cerebral cortex.
So you're at the point now where you can't even look at a DVD. Oh. It's so crappy, right, Ralph?
I can't look at my Blu-ray anymore now that I know Super High Vision exists. It's like, what's this crappy, stupid Blu-ray?
So it's very interesting.
Disappointing. Just thought I'd bring it up because we were talking about it.
That's funny.
Technology, man.
That's
it's
a good
a
point.
Bitch.
That is a good
it's
point.
It's a bitch. That's, I think, Sanyo's new slogan.
Is that what they say?
Technology. It's a bitch. Let's talk about Tracy Morgan, shall we? Tracy yeah. Morgan! Gave big props to the fire department yesterday in New York City because a fire broke out in his apartment. And they showed up, and they rescued everyone, and they put out the fire, and no one was injured.
Those white boys are not kidding around.
No, they're not. They put out a fire like a bitch. So Tracy's okay, and everything's good. And he said the New York Fire Department's the best in the world.
Smoking weed? What caused it?
I don't know. With Tracy, it probably could have been spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, that's true.
He's out there.
He's a little nutty.
It was a light bulb in his aquarium for some reason.
A light bulb
got
in his aquarium.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, Kevin.
Types of fish did he have?
Don't know. Okay. Don't have that information.
Oh, really? How's it feel? How do you like that? How do you like
everybody
it?
Everybody else knows.
Interestingly, though, not only was no one hurt, not even the fish were hurt. That's how fast the fire department got to his house.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I would think if I was underwater, I would probably be the safest one in the room.
Yeah, but you're also closest to the fire. It seems like it wouldn't take that long for it to, you know, to evaporate the water. But I guess everything worked out fine.
People are coming down on Chris Brown.
Well, they should be.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Believe it or not, Lisa.
Huh.
But Star Magazine says, you know who was quick to forgive him?
I hope not Rihanna.
Not Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Oh, dear God.
Well, I mean, as long as she doesn't.
A friend of the singer told Star Magazine that she can't stop talking about Chris Brown. She wants to make sure he's okay and believes their relationship has a chance once all this drama eventually blows over.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I hope not.
That seems like a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
That is no way to live.
Heard you guys talking about Michael Phelps earlier.
Yep.
Apparently he's really feeling upset about this whole bong hit photo scandal. He has had to tint his windows in his home in Baltimore to avoid being caught by paparazzi.
While smoking a bong?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they say he's been hiding out to stay out of the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it gets better. In strip clubs. That's
all
where
right.
He's been hiding out. So.
Is
right.
he hiding out with Chris Brown?
Yeah, I guess so. Just seems like...
I guess if you can hide out somewhere.
Why not, right? Huh. Unless they're not taking photos of you.
Right.
Oh, Kevin, you see American Idol last night?
Of course not. It's a bad
great
show.
Great episode.
And by great, you mean terrible.
I mean awesome, because the crazy girl got booted and she broke down and cried on stage.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh,
yeah,
yay.
It was great.
I like the crazy people crying.
Here's the thing. For most normal people, this stage of the competition, they're excited to be in it. They're hoping to move on, but they're not that emotionally invested. So when you get cut from the top 36, it's like, damn, I had a shot.
You
got
to kind of see that coming, right?
Right. Because they're thinking 3 out of 12,
yeah.
Right? So your odds are not in your favor. So everyone up until that point was like, damn, okay, well, thanks. It's been great, and it's really been a fun opportunity, blah, blah, blah. They knew what they were doing. They got down to the last person who got in and her standing side by side.
Was it Tatiana?
It was Tatiana, and they announced this Danny Gokey.
Oh, good. Of course.
They put them together, and they announce he's going through, and she just starts melting down.
Awesome.
And they give him the microphone. All right, sing the song that got you in the top 12. I was like, no, just keep the camera on her. Just let me see you. I just want to see her cry.
I thought they mean the losers sing.
No, that's later on.
Oh, later on. Later,
like the top 12.
I
they
can't
send you
believe.
Home. You can sing one last time when they send you home.
Okay. I can't believe she didn't grab the mic and start singing again. No, give me another chance.
I think if they had given her the opportunity, she would have. But no, she just started weeping and hiding her face behind the other contestants. And the contestants were like trying to comfort her. She was like pushing them away. It was like this whole silent drama going on behind the guy who was singing.
Awesome.
It was
I think
very
she was in shock. I think she couldn't understand what was happening. Like, how could I not be going through? I deserve stardom.
That's beautiful. I can't wait to watch that.
I was kind of disappointed because I was hoping they would bring her along a little further and get her hopes really up, and then crush them.
You destroy her?
Watch you just pull out a revolver and put it to her temple and pull the trigger. That's what I was hoping, the first ever live American Idol suicide.
That isn't good for you.
Was she the one on Tuesday that Simon said, as long as he's been in the music business, he's never seen anyone more desperate to be famous than her?
Yes.
Was that her he was referring to?
That's not what he was.
Well, she'll be famous when they find her body in a car in front of Paul Abdul's house this morning. I'll tell you that.
Here's the thing. They're taking 9 that the America votes for out of the 36.
Right.
Moving them into the top 12. The last 3 slots are what they call the wild card slots, that the judges can just pull back anybody from the 36.
So they could get her again?
So it's still potential. There's potential that they could pull her out and put her back in the mix if they wanted to.
That is awesome.
And then eliminate her the first show.
That's what I'm saying. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Daddy again. Daddy again. We'll have to wait and
see. That's the best.
I was very excited. But if they do that, if they pull her out for the wild card selections and put her back in the competition, that would be the most flagrant, just admitting, look, we're not even a talent show anymore. We're just casting. Exactly. We're just casting this show. But I'm all for it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jeff Daniels is 54 years old today. Singer-guitarist Dave Wakeling of General Public and the English Beat is 53. Singer Seal is 46 years old today. Justine Bateman turns 43. Benicio del Toro, he is 42 years old. Singer-actress, older sister to Hill, Haley Duff, turns 24. And you know who was born today who would be 51 if he was still with us?
That's a pretty big category.
Falco would be 51 today if he was still with us.
Falco.
Hit it, Steve! Falco, we lost you too soon. We think of you every day. We miss you.
Is that true? We think of him every day?
Oh, it's just me. I think of him every day. Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus. Oh, 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 Amadeus. Happy birthday, Falco!
Well, that's very nice.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, it's hard out here for a chimp. First, let me say that.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Second, let me tell you that if you get emailed the audio or you're online and you happen to be on the website that features the 911 chimp audio, I wouldn't listen to it at this point. Have you guys heard it?
No, I don't want to hear it.
I haven't because I've read it and it doesn't sound funny.
Yeah. Well, I want to give fair warning that you're going to hear some brief clips from the 911 audio of the story that broke a couple of days ago in suburban New York. By the way, the New York Post has this headline, Weird Jungle Love Behind Chimp Tragedy. Here's the relationship between this 70-year-old woman and the chimp that just attacked and mauled her 55-year-old friend, okay? She fed him filet mignon and lobster tails. They shared cozy glasses of wine. They bathed and slept together.
No. Wait
a
minute. Hold on.
Stop
right there. Stop right there. They bathed together.
Yes.
They sat in a bathtub, 70-year-old woman and chimpanzee.
Yes, yes. And she says later on in the same article on the Post, she says, people who think they know what it's like to have a chimp, they have no idea what it's like to have a chimp until they've taken a bath with one.
Wow.
He tenderly brushed her hair. She gave him gifts and sweet kisses. He drew her pictures. He would draw pictures of her with crayons and she would hang them up on the fridge. I mean, this was the most bizarre affair of the heart, as they call it in the article.
Yeah.
Her and her chimp.
But it's all her, right? I mean, she's just crazy. I mean, chimp is not drawing pictures.
Know.
A chimp is not doing that stuff.
No, I think they do. They're really, really smart. I would imagine.
And I mean, a picture?
I saw an elephant draw a picture.
Yeah, but elephants are smart.
They do apparently enjoy playing games and drawing pictures and doing stuff like that. But we're going to hear some of the audio of one of the many, many reports of the story yesterday, the tragic, awful story yesterday that ended up with her friend's face being missing and in a hospital for, I think they did 7 hours of surgery to stabilize her friend yesterday. The chimp ends up getting shot dead. But I'm particularly interested in people who have owned chimps and what your reaction is to this story, because the reason I bring up all the stuff about what was going on with this lady and the chimp is, I mean, she had this chimp since he was 3 days old, and he's almost 15 now. I mean, she looked at this chimp as the safest pet in the world, right?
Yeah.
She looked at this pip like he was a dude, though. I mean, he was human. That's
kind of
the scary part.
For a man.
Exactly. So let's hear a little bit of the story. I think this is from Access Hollywood last night, and you'll be fascinated to know why they were covering this story, by the way, because they are an entertainment show. But listen up.
It is dramatic. It is frightening. The 911 call from the vicious chimpanzee attack
Welcome to Access Hollywood.
It is a story that everyone is talking about. Tony Potts has been tracking it and has the chimp's owner who made that desperate call.
Friend.
Who's killing your friend?
Chimp, my chimpanzee!
Oh, your chimpanzee is killing your friend.
Chimp, he ripped their part. Hurry up!
With a gun.
Hurry up, please!
Part of the reason it's so frustrating to listen to the 911 tape, which, by the way, goes on for something like 12 minutes.
Oh.
Because they keep her on the phone until the police arrive.
Well,
why
doesn't she get off the phone and help?
Because she can't do anything. She's in the car. She gets in her car for safety, and she can't go. She can't approach this chimp. She's already stabbed the chimp and can't get the chimp off of her friend.
Dear
so
God.
At this point, she's just waiting for the police. And they were confused. At first, it took them a while to understand that it was a chimpanzee that was there. They thought it was a human. Obviously, that's what they expect at 911.
Right.
And then when she's talking about a gun, you know, she's trying to get the police to bring a gun to shoot the chimp. But the 911 operator thinks that somebody is there on the other end with a gun. And that's why she's calling.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very confusing thing that was going on.
The 911 call lasted 13 minutes. And it's chilling.
What is the monkey doing? Tell me what the monkey.
He ripped her face off.
He ripped her face off.
He tried to attack me. Please.
You know, Matt, you listen to that 911 call. You can hear the horror or new details in that violent chimp attack.
On Monday, Travis went berserk.
The tragic story is all over the news. NBC's Today had the exclusive with the owner of the 200-pound chimp, Sandra Harold.
And he was just grabbing her, and then I went and got the shovel. And I was trying to, you know, hit him with the shovel to stop it, and it wasn't working, so I went and I had to get a knife.
The early show had Travis's next-door neighbor of 12 years.
When I used to wrestle with him, although apes are seven times stronger than a human, he never showed it.
Now, 70-year-old Harold had raised Travis from 3 days old until his death Monday at the age of 14. That's when she tragically had to stab the chimp with a kitchen knife in an attempt to save her best friend.
He looked at me like, Mom, what did you do? He was just too strong. And I went and grabbed the phone and called 911.
Let the police up! With a gun! With a gun! Hurry up!
You're off the gun.
Please, hurry up!
Yeah, that's,
wow, rough. What a dumbass that woman is.
What the hell was she doing?
What a dumbass.
With a chimp. Like, she was 58 when she got this chimp? How did she get a chimp? What was she doing with it?
I don't know. And that's one of the things that's being investigated now is apparently there are laws in New Jersey where you have to register an animal of 50 pounds or more or something like that with the state. And there was no regulation. I mean, it was apparently illegal for her to have a 200-pound chimp in her home. But I won't say, you know, lots of people. It's not like, you know, the most common pet in the world. But almost all of us have known somebody at one time or another who has had a chimp, right?
Not me.
Well, I know I wanted one. I know I really, really wanted a chimp. I mean, I thought that would be the best thing in the world. But then you do, you know, 10 seconds of research and you go, they need a diaper at all times.
This chimp used the toilet, by the way.
Sure it did. And they're wild at any moment. I mean, yeah. that's the main thing they tell you is this is a wild animal. You cannot domesticate it.
That's why I'm fascinated with it, because they seem so human-like and because they're able to be trained and they're so smart. I think people think they can be treated just like humans or just like domestic pets, and they're just not. But I mean, it's so freaky. I mean, there's going to be, you know, quite an investigation on why this chimp went crazy. But they think, you know, her friend who the chimp knew really well had showed up driving a different car than usual with a different hairstyle than usual and had brought a toy for the chimp that she was waving around, like an Elmo toy or something like that. And they just think it was a combination of those things being unfamiliar to the chimp and then the chimp also being a little bit agitated that day that just caused it to snap. But there's no way. I mean, if this woman's sleeping with and bathing with and drinking with and playing with and walking with this animal, there's no way she ever in a million years expects something like this
to
happen.
No, of course not, but that's why she's stupid.
But that article also says that Xanax, if someone is already kind of crazy, can make it worse.
Now, did she give
him more agitated?
Did she give him Xanax or not? She said so at first, right?
She said she did, and then she denied
it. Yeah, it depends if you listen to her on Monday or if you listen to her on Tuesday. She did say that she gave the animal Xanax, mixed it in his tea, and then after, like the next day, she said, "Oh no, I never gave him anything like that."
Yeah, well, I think day two is a lie.
I'd like to suggest that the chimp doesn't even need tea. I'd like to go that far. I don't care about the Xanax. What are you doing giving your chimp tea? What's wrong with her? Bean, she's a dumbass. say it.
She definitely shouldn't have a chimp as a pet. I mean, if we've learned anything, it's that, I think.
Right, but she's a dumbass.
But I don't think there's necessarily something wrong with somebody who gives their pet human food and drink sometimes. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Sleeps in bed with, bathes with.
Well, I mean, it seems creepy.
I sleep with my dogs.
It does seem creepy to me that this happened with a chimp.
Do you think we can find anybody who actually owned a chimp or took care of a chimp or something?
In this town, probably, because they get used in the movies a lot. And so I'd imagine,
As a matter of fact, I mentioned, why is this story on Access Hollywood? This chimp apparently had a commercial career. This chimp was in Old Navy commercials with Morgan Fairchild. This chimp was in Coca-Cola commercials. Apparently, this chimp was quite the popular actor back in the day.
So that chimp was her living, too.
Well, that was many, many years ago. That hadn't been the case.
She was sponging off the chimp.
Yeah,
but she had no one. She had no one else in her life. Her husband was dead. Her daughter died in a car crash a few years ago. I mean, the chimp apparently just became everybody. Just became everybody to her. So
the whole thing is just so sad.
But so sad. I mean, but imagine what it's like. And this is why. I mean, you heard some clips and you heard how desperate she sounds. But if you listen to the whole tape, which I don't recommend, imagine what a helpless, desperate feeling it is to be watching your chimp. Yeah. Rip your friend's face off, not being able to do anything about it. You're on the phone with 911, and you can't. In that state, she just couldn't understand why they weren't there yet. You know, you don't understand. You've got to get here right now. And they were, of course, coming as fast as they could, and just crying and just pleading, just begging them to please show up and shoot her pet.
But at some point, don't you get out of the car? I don't care. How scary.
The 911 operator kept telling her not to. Whatever you do, do not get out of the car. You have to promise me you will stay in that car. You will not move, because the fear was she would get out of the car and then the chimp would attack her too. And that's not going
to
help anybody.
This story is going to make it so much harder for me to talk my wife into getting a monkey.
It really
is. This is really complicating things for me.
Believe me, Kevin, you're the first person I thought of. I was like, thank God that wasn't Kevin's chimp.
Shoot.
All right, let's talk to Fred in Moreno Valley real quick on line one. Again, we're looking for you if you had experience with chimps. Best if you've owned a chimp or if you have friends who had a chimp. We want to know what kind of stuff they did, if you can imagine something like this happening. What's the real deal with these chimpanzees? Fred, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Fred.
You had a chimpanzee?
Actually, my in-laws had it when I first got married to my wife.
Okay.
Why did they have one?
It was more of a business venture. What they would do is they would take it around to military bases, and you could have your picture taken with it for like $5 at the comics. Mm-hmm. I forget what they call the store there.
And did they shower with it and feed it steak?
Heck no.
Yeah.
Tell me this, though. Tell me, how tame and docile did the chimp seem to you, and could you ever have imagined that chimp going off like this one did in the news this week?
At some points, it was docile, but when it would get into its moods, it would become very unruly, to the point where, you know, sometimes I was wrestling with it, and it was strong. Even for a 3-year-old chimp, it was very strong.
How about that?
Was there ever any fear on behalf of your in-laws that it was potentially too dangerous a pet for them to keep? I mean, did they ever worry about that? Like, hey, what could happen if this chimp went wild on us?
No, after a while, they got to the point where they realized that it was getting to the point where they couldn't control it anymore.
Yeah.
They had a cage in their house for it, but it just got to the point where they couldn't control it, and so they wound up getting rid of it.
Well, they did the right thing.
Well, you think about it, if they are a lot like humans, and they could like go into get really angry and stuff, and with their strength.
They're way stronger, though.
That's the thing. You can't have them around.
All right. Thanks for the call, Fred. We appreciate it. I know we have other people out there who have had chimps or experience with chimps in the family or something like that. We are going to take some more calls
on
this one.
Maybe you work at the zoo or something like that where you've had some dealings with.
Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. We want to take your calls. We'll take a quick break and come back with more right after this on the World Famous K. So, yeah, that conversation with Melissa about how you're going to have a monkey is really not going to go very well today.
Well, maybe I'll lay off it today.
Okay. Because for the longest time, the kids were too young, and I understood her complaint. But now that they're getting old enough that they could wrestle back, I feel like it's time for you to bring a chimpanzee into the home, don't you?
Well, there are a few troubling signs, especially with this story. But this woman was showering with it, and it could dress itself and drink wine from a glass.
But that's not what made it go crazy.
Well, no. Who knows what made it go crazy? The 70-year-old was crazy.
Yeah.
I still don't think anyone, or at least she didn't expect that it would ever turn as violent as it did in her poor friend with the no face. I mean, I don't think I mentioned this before on the air, but when the police showed up, you hear the police talking to the 911 operator says, oh, yeah, this guy's in really bad shape. We got to get him out of here. Not even realizing it was a 55-year-old woman. That's how little was left of her. So
wow.
We're taking your calls if you've got chimp experience at 1-800-520-1067. Please hang on, everybody, because we're going to get to you as fast as we can. Let's go to Debbie in Simi Valley, who apparently was a chimp trainer, which sounds like just exactly the person we need to talk to. Hey, Deb, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, I just want to clear one thing up. I was a keeper, not a trainer.
Keeper, okay. What does that mean?
I was working at the wildlife way station. I used to take care of the chimps, feed them, clean their cages.
But you say you say keeper instead of trainer because they're not trainable, or...
Or because she didn't train him.
I didn't just train took care him. Of him. I just took care of him.
Okay.
People, they were working chimps for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were, you know, in movies and whatnot. And I think what happened to this poor couple is just terrible. But it's a classic example of why chimps are not a good idea to befriend.
But they're so cute.
Oh, yeah. And then they grow up and pick you up and throw you across the room, rip your arm out, beat you over the head with it, you know.
Were you ever worried? Did you have to get in the cage with them?
Several times, and it was pretty close to right up there with kissing a cobra, you know? Just not a good idea.
Wow. So when you see a story like this, you basically think to yourself, it was a matter of time. It's not an if, it's a when with most chimps, or is it still pretty rare for chimps that have this much proximity to people to go crazy like this?
Well, it's, you know, people don't really like to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot more than you really think. Mostly because, you know, whoever's dead and there's no one left to talk about it.
Well, there is that. I mean,
but we don't see a lot of stories on the news about people getting attacked or ripped up by chimps. It just doesn't happen very often. And I was just wondering if that's because most chimps are pretty docile, if it's pretty rare that something like this happens, or what the deal is.
Well, they're fairly docile all the way up until they hit maturity. And then they decide that, you know, there's a lot of things out there that they want that they can't have. And they're pretty smart. And they can read a human, like, very easily. They know what you're thinking, like, 5 minutes before you do.
This woman used to take a bath with this chimp.
That's a little crazy.
You think?
You know. All right, Debbie, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eugene in Los Angeles. Eugene is on line 3 and is on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Eugene, you used to have a chimp in your life, right?
Yeah. What happened was when I was born, my dad's boss ended up giving them a chimp. And, well, the chimp would end up going crazy sometimes, and he would end up killing some chickens and just basically decapitating dogs.
Oh, my God.
Well, you say, wait a minute, you say dogs, plural?
How did that happen more than one time before they put him down or gave him away?
Well, we thought he was like, you know how they're strong, but we thought that he would end up playing so hard with them, like so rough with them, that he would end up, picking them by accident. But,
didn't someone own them?
Sorry?
Didn't someone own the dogs? Wasn't someone objecting?
Well, see, that's the thing, though. So since it was a big ranch, there would be like stray dogs and like whatever, you know?
But you could look at that and go, dog with no head, man, it must have just been playing.
God almighty.
You get rid of your chimp at that point. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's take Ken in Covina on line 2. Hey, Ken, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You knew that famous chimp, Mo, that was in the news a lot last year, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was actually going through school. He was our neighbor.
He was your neighbor. The dude that owned Mo the chimp.
Yes, yes. And he had his whole backyard was the cage, and that monkey was all right with people until it bit some kid's finger, you know, for prodding it with a stick through the fence.
Yeah.
Well, and it was for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was like that monkey was like their best man in their wedding, and they ate with them. It was the same kind of scenario with
this
other lady.
Best man in their wedding.
Oh, yeah, they had pictures of it. You know, come around.
Is this the monkey that attacked both of them?
Yeah, well, no,
I hope
so. Mo wasn't the one that attacked him. It was when they took him away and put him in that home with the other chimps.
Right.
And got jealous because of the birthday cake.
Yes.
It was that situation.
Right. That's right.
All
right. I think we're at the point now, ladies and gentlemen, where there have been enough chimp attacks that we should say, don't have a chimp as a pet. I think we can come out and go that far and say it's not a good idea, right?
I think that's
Kevin.
I agree.
Yes.
As much fun as it seems like, as awesome as it would be if they weren't wild animals, let's just stop with the chimps, I guess.
But they still throw poop. And that puts it right back on the top of the list.
How to find a job coming up after 7 o'clock. We've got an expert also. Ralph, you'll be happy to know the Los Angeles Snuggie pub crawl is happening. We've got an update on that next hour.
Heard.
Wow.
And,
one of the dirty dozen.
Preview of the new Grand Theft Auto 4 and Street Fighter 4. That's a hell of a 7 o'clock hour straight ahead here on the world famous K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What's going on?
Snuggie, by the way, the most popular product in America.
Please.
In America?
4 million units moved in 3 months.
That is pretty unbelievable.
You tell me something else. Something else is selling 4 million of them in 3 months, Kevin. Tell me. Tell me what you know. Tell me.
I don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially since blankets already existed, that makes it all the more remarkable. They were able to fool people into buying Snuggies.
But they're doing a pub crawl, so they're going to use their Snuggies and they're going to go from bar to bar.
They're using their power for good. Two of the best things in the world, Snuggies and drinking combined in one event. Where's the downside?
Wow.
There isn't one. That's the key.
Wow. Is that why a whole 12 people have signed up?
That's right. That's why the Dirty Dozen will be out there in force with me as their leader.
Yeah.
You can stay warm and pick your drink up at the same time. Can't do that in a blanket.
I'd like to suggest that you can.
We'll see how the Dirty Dozen stands up to the poncho patrol when Omar
Ooh,
and I.
The poncho patrol.
Omar and I. We're going
to
wreck
that. That reminds me, I got to make a call to INS. You know, sometimes you go to work and, you know, this job, look, let's face it, this job's better than most. It's better than working for a living. I've had jobs and I've done this and this is better.
Right.
But you go to your job and you just kind of, you know, you punch your clock and you try to be professional and you do your job and you go home. And that's how most days go for most people. But then something happens once in a while. Something happens in your day-to-day professional life that makes it all worthwhile, that gives you enough, that re-energizes you and gives you enough juice to move on for another 6 months. You can do it off of one small event that happens
really?
At your work.
All right.
Today's one of those days for me.
All right.
I just got sent a press release. And most of those are crap. Most people are trying to sell something or get some time on the show or whatever that are useless. But this one, I was dancing around the office. I was giddy.
Dude.
Allow me, if I may, to read. The Center Theater Group announces an exciting coup with the addition of a new one-man show by Kirk Douglas.
What?
Before I forget, at the Kirk Douglas Theater, Kirk Douglas is doing a one-man show.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
That's Dick Clark.
I know,
but Kirk Douglas is doing a one-man show.
Right.
Sure
an
is.
Evening with Kirk Douglas. I'm
right.
not sure if
Tonight,
you
Tonight,
sure.
I love all of you, and I thank all of you for 50 wonderful years.
That's Kirk Douglas, the actor.
That's going to be a long show.
Now, don't get me wrong. Love Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
The movie icon.
Right.
Spartacus, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's a legend, but he's in ailing health. He's in his 90s. He's had a stroke. He's not in one-man show shape, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, at all.
And he's got like 6 performances.
Yeah. Yeah.
House band, Nate Dogg.
Lisa's, Lisa's like Bean.
Yeah.
She's got all the info on this because it is.
And he's got like 17 performances.
It's at his theater, the Kirk Douglas Theater.
Yes, it is, Lisa. And apparently it'll be an evening of theater. It'll be Kirk Douglas doing his one-man show. And then the second half is Marlee Matlin and Dick Clark doing love letters. So...
I'm
check
in.
Check that out.
You are so going to that, Ralph.
Wow. My head exploded when I saw that. One-man show with Kirk Douglas. That's just a lot of polite nodding in the audience. That's what that is. That's like, yes. Oh, good for you, brave soul. That's not what you want for a night of theater.
That crowd was very sympathetic tonight.
That you want to hear an actor say when he comes off a stage. They're like, wow, they were great. They were really in. Did you hear that applause?
Did you hear that? Smattering of crying.
There was some polite nodding going on.
Miss Matlin, do you have any comments?
It got me great.
There you go.
There you go. Done.
Don't be on my side anymore, Psycho Mike. Right? Got a list today from Manofest.com. With Manofest?
No.
It's a website that celebrates everything that is male, everything that is masculine. Manofest.
Like farting and stuff?
Manofest. The Manofest.
Okay.
Manofest.
Got it.
Got it. Okay.
They released their list of the top 10 biggest celebrity pussies today.
Oh.
And I was very pleased at the list. I think
the Octomom is on it.
You'd be hard pressed to argue with any of these, I think. Number 10 on the list, Ryan Seacrest.
Yes.
At least. Let's see who the top nine are.
Under his photo, it says, "Hey, Seacrest, it's okay to wear T-shirts that don't have embroidered dragons on them." I think they just wanted to let him know that. Pete Wentz on the list, number nine.
Yeah. Sure.
Of course. Oh.
He has the nerve to name his son Bronx. Come on, pal. You know he's going to grow up just like you are. The name Peaches would have been more appropriate. So there you go. Number eight on the list, Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
How dare you.
Of course.
Number seven, the newest member on the male pussy club list is Chris Brown, number seven.
Sure. Ah.
When you hit Rihanna, you hit every man on this planet. If you're going to your pastor for help, make sure he starts by giving you a beat down. That was for Chris Brown on the list.
Good for them.
Bob Costas, number six on the list.
What? Why?
Because he's a little short know-it-all.
Yeah. I've been sick of Bob Costas' pompous pussy arrogance for years. My favorite Bob Costas moment was a few years ago when he tried to get real with Vince McMahon on his show HBO On the Record. Vince McMahon got in his face and Costas assumed the fetal position in his chair.
I've got to be honest with you. I don't care.
Number five, Dominic Monaghan.
From Lost?
Charlie from Lost. Apparently, just too much hand jewelry. Bleach blonde mullet and soap opera beard, they claim.
Yeah.
He does have all that.
By the way, he never did it, Evangeline Lilly. That was all a mirage, they claim, on the list with number five. Number four, Clay Aiken.
Sure.
You almost feel sorry for him, they say, but then you hear him sing and talk. Number three, Andy Dick.
Oh, okay. Andy.
Sure, come on. Number two, Richard Simmons.
Sure.
And we may have to speak to number one on the list. Number one on the list from Manifest.com, biggest celebrity pussies.
You are good.
Number one, Spencer Pratt.
Oh, yes.
He is a disgrace to all mankind. If you're any more of a pussy, he'd have whiskers. Actually, I think he does. I think he's got that flesh-colored beard he wears. So.
That is a fantastic list, by the way.
It's a strong list.
I would put Seacrest a little higher, but other than that, I got no qualms with it.
I was the same way. I was a big nodding yes on every level. Said Dominic Monaghan. He didn't really deserve to be on there. What's he ever done except be
Plus,
good
he's
on
in
live?
Drive Shaft, man. He's in that awesome rock band.
That was on the show.
Just on the show.
See, Lost, by the way, speaking of Lost last night.
Dude, I'm so confused now.
Dude, you know, I realized, Kevin, this will help you. It hit me last night as
F
I was watching.
This show.
No.
I tried.
As I was watching, it hit me. It washed over me like a warm bath. I said, I have to stop thinking about it. I just have to. It's like watching a foreign film for me now. I just look at the pretty pictures and I just enjoy what's happening at the moment. And I stop trying to tie it in all together and I just appreciate it for what it is. It's just an experience.
But if
man,
it doesn't tie into the rest of the show, what's the point?
It's still good. My wife hasn't seen an episode in two seasons.
Yeah.
She sat down and she says, I have no idea what's going on, but damn, this is still a good show.
That old woman, she's got that special
she
top.
She was the one from Desmond. Remember whatever. The one with the wedding ring? She sent Desmond on his trip, two seasons ago.
But you shouldn't have to remember something from two seasons ago
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I thought she was great. She was an interesting, weird little character in just for what it was. It was awesome last night.
Yeah.
I said it was just a great hour of television.
I sat there thinking, I know other people are loving this.
Yeah, I was loving it.
Good for them.
Ralph, who was the chick on the plane with Saeed? That he was sitting next to the other passenger.
Some sort of law enforcement person. Yeah, she
but
had a badge.
But who and why?
She was there because they needed a law enforcement person on the plane.
That's another episode. They're going to give you the backstory of what happened to Saeed before he got on the plane in another episode. Just like they're going to show you what happened with John Locke between when he left the island and when he ended up in the coffin. You're going to get his backstory next week. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
Just don't think about it too much.
Exactly. Just enjoy for what it is, people. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Daniels is 54, Dave Wakeling turns 53, Seal is 46, Justine Bateman, 43, Benicio Del Toro is 42, and singer-actress Hailey Duff turns 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now that we've got some good news to the 10% of our audience out there that is unemployed and looking for work right now. We're going to welcome back to the program Mr. Michael Irwin. He is with CareerBuilders.com. Morning, Michael. Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
So we were thinking about this after we talked to you last week when you bummed us all out talking about how germy our job was as radio DJs.
Did you clean
we
were up thinking, the area after that?
It's not possible to clean this area up.
Nah.
It really isn't. Let me just give you an example. I forgot to bring this up at the time. Doc, our newsman, had surgery, and he had staples put in his butt, so he took them out and he brought them in for us. That's got to up the germ quotient quite a bit,
yes.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That goes above and beyond what you should have to put up with at most jobs. But then we hung up with you. We thought, hey, that dude works for CareerBuilder.com. How crazy must it be at their place right now with everybody in the world seemingly out of work? I mean, has it just been going ballistic for you guys?
Well, it has been very busy. And the information that we're trying to put out there is it's tough right now. We're not going to deny that the recession is definitely causing a lot of people in the market to have to look longer for jobs. But there are jobs out there. And what we're trying to stress to everyone is you need to be patient. You need to identify the areas where there are jobs and then go after them.
What are some of the areas where there are jobs?
Well, healthcare is very strong right now. IT is also a big area where there are a lot of jobs. And healthcare jobs, it's not just a nurse or a doctor. It's somebody in the hospital who's an administrator. It's somebody who's in the kitchen. It's somebody who is in transportation. So there's a lot of jobs out there. And if you're unemployed right now, you need to figure out, how can I take my skills and put them into the healthcare industry? And there's probably going to be a good fit for you.
Michael, let me ask you this. Why is healthcare still booming? Why are they still hiring there? Haven't they been victims of the same kind of recessions and cutbacks and layoffs as other industries?
Well, our population continues to get older, and as they get older, they need more healthcare. And healthcare has become more technical, and there's a lot more different niches. So there is a lot more jobs out there. And actually, last year, healthcare added 372,000 jobs across the country. So that's a solid industry that will continue to add jobs this year.
It's also an industry where you have to wear a hairnet. And that's you got to consider that.
If you like that, see, that's a good fit for you.
All right.
So if you're an accountant or something, and you just got laid off of an auto parts business, maybe think about applying at a hospital or an insurance company. That's your advice, right, Michael?
Definitely, because especially in the accounting field, everybody says like, oh, they're not going to be able to find jobs, but they are going to find jobs. There's a lot more regulations, and there's a lot more government agencies who are involved in businesses now, and they need a lot more accountants to go through all the paperwork. So definitely figure out how you can take your skills and move them into another industry.
All right, you mentioned IT. What kinds of jobs are those for people?
Well, IT, it goes from being at the help desk to working on servers. So depending on if you had any training, the more training, probably the better. But there are jobs out there that you can come out of high school and go into, and they're going to train you, and they're going to help you work through the whole system so that you are a long-term employee and that you move up in the positions.
Don't you have to move to India, though, if you want one of those jobs?
that's a myth. A lot of the jobs that moved to India have moved back to the United States. As we had to cut jobs here, we brought jobs back. And
we're
able to put people into them.
What percentage have come back?
I don't have that off the top of my head, but I think it's a good percentage.
Wow, that really surprises me, because I do know that I haven't spoken with a customer service representative for any business in the United States in about 5 years.
Is that mainly the airline industry, or are those industries across
the
board?
No, like computers and things like that, yeah.
Yeah,
interesting.
It's definitely, we saw a big boom where everybody was moving jobs because it was cheaper to find them in other places. But as the economy shifted, we are definitely seeing a large amount of those jobs coming back.
See, it's interesting what you said about the IT job, because this is the question that we get asked all the time, and I'm sure at CareerBuilder.com you get asked the same question, which is, where's the job that I can go to and get training for and make some sort of money at it? And you're saying something like this, there are companies out there that are willing to teach you how to be an IT person.
Definitely. And that's the good thing about the internet. You can go on and research companies across the board. There are transportation companies, there are IT companies, there are healthcare companies who are going to bring you on, and they're going to train you to be in a bigger position. It's not just having to have the skills. It's really, companies want to invest in training so you stay with them for a long time and they don't have the high turnover rates.
All right. Here's one of the businesses on your list is the government. When I assume you mean the state and the federal government. Now, this surprises me, because the government is so broke and so heavily leveraged. How can they be hiring people and not instead firing people left and right to try to bring their budgets into balance?
That's a good question. I thought you were going to bring that up. I know that California is definitely having a lot of trouble. A lot of people are getting laid off. But the federal government added over 100,000 jobs last year, and they are in all cities. It's not just in Washington, D.C. So there are a lot of federal jobs that are currently in California. So you should really investigate those.
Yeah, but then you get into a background check, and then everything comes up. That's
You're at one party with Michael Phelps,
right.
All of a sudden you can't get hired.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, everyone's doing background check, so I think that if you're a good fit, they're going to bring you on.
And there are jobs in every field, pretty much, working for the government. I mean, they have their fingers in everything, right?
Everything. And I think that the stimulus bill that was passed is really going to help that. And I think there's going to be more opportunity. So I think we just have to sit, just patiently for maybe a month or two more before we start to see some of those jobs come around. And then hopefully by the end of the year, you'll have me on and we'll be talking how to get a raise, how to get a promotion.
We are talking to Michael Irwin, by the way. He's a senior career advisor for CareerBuilder.com. Couple more categories real quick, Mike, before we run out of time. You mentioned in the article here, education is another area where they're still hiring.
Definitely. And the government is pushing a lot of programs that are encouraging people to become teachers. And they continue to add educators across the country. And this just doesn't mean teachers, professors. It also goes down. So if you don't have a teaching certificate, there are jobs on universities. There are jobs in local schools that you can get. So it's really a field that you should investigate and see how your skills will move into it.
I only want to teach girls PE. Can I do that? Is that you're allowed to apply that specifically?
No, I think that you can apply for that, but for you, I think that we would avoid putting you in that situation. That's
probably a good call.
All right, finally, sales is on the list. What kind of salespeople are being looked for right now?
Well, sales is going to be what rebuilds companies. So as companies look to come back after the recession, they're going to add salespeople first because those people are going to bring in the revenue for the company, and they're going to allow them to add programs, add more people. Across the board, everything you can think of has a salesperson. Radios has sales. Career Builder has sales. Automotive sales. Retail sales. It's everything out there. There are jobs available right now. If you have sales experience, you're going to probably be a better fit. But towards the middle of the year, I think that you'll see a lot of companies investing in new salespeople.
I have a part-time job at Forever 21. For example.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, that's that kind of thing.
Here.
Right.
Michael, I'm glad we had you on because I have a feeling that lots of people, and let's face it, our listeners are not immune to this. Everybody is, everybody knows somebody. If they haven't been laid off, they know somebody who has. And they tend to think, what can I do in my field? How can I continue along the path that I've been on? And sometimes it's kind of hard for us to break out of that and start thinking about some of these other careers that we've never given any thought to before. And in fact, it sounds like you're saying those are the ones that we really ought to be concentrating on because that's where you get your best shot getting hired.
Definitely. I think that over the years there's been such a negative stigma about losing your job. But in this economy, people are losing their jobs left and right, and they really need to get out there and network and tell people because people work in different industries and different fields, and there's going to be jobs that fit your skill set. So you need to get out there. You need to tell people. You need to have patience. You need to breathe. You need to commit to the job search, and hopefully you're going to find something.
I'm sorry. Did you just say breathe?
You do have to breathe because I think that so many people are upset, especially if they're laid off. The first thing I tell everybody is take a deep breath,
take a deep breath, get mad,
get sad, then look for a job.
And then get drunk. All right. Michael Irwin, senior career advisor. Again, the website is careerbuilder.com. CareerBuilder.com. You can this list and all the other tips that they have. Mike, thanks for coming on today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That was perfect,
yes,
actually.
Thank you.
That was
so
perfect. Kevin and Bean Show at 7:28.
Dear Kevin and Bean, the email begins. I want to fill you in on the best news I've had all week. The infamous Snuggie has inspired a community event. It's a Snuggie pub crawl coming to Los Angeles. This is from K-Rock listener Lauren, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Lauren, thank you for calling.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So, Ralph, I know you're on board. Lauren, you're on board with the Snuggie pub crawl?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw this news flash, and I definitely looked it up online immediately and emailed the guy and told him he needed to start this one in Los Angeles and immediately set it up. And
okay, wait a minute.
We already have about 50 pub crawlers registered so far.
So you read online that they were having a pub crawl for people who had Snuggies in other cities, and then you demanded it happen here?
It started in Chicago, and these dudes just, I think, watch a lot of late-night TV like I do and wanted to walk around on the streets of Chicago with a bunch of Snuggies and a beer in their hands.
Oh, imagine how good it is in Chicago to have the Snuggie because it gets cold there. The hawk comes off the lake, and you put your Snuggie on, and you go out to the bars, and you are comfy coasting.
Isn't Snuggie for inside? What's the?
It's for everywhere, Kevin. It's inside, outside, underwater, in the air. You can use it anywhere.
Here's the
best product ever.
Part of the commercial.
You want to keep warm when you're feeling chilled, but you don't want to raise your heating bill. Blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide. And when you need to reach for something, your hands are trapped inside.
Yes.
Now, there's the Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves.
All right.
I don't even call blankets anymore. I call them straight jackets. That's what I call them.
Lauren, let me ask you this, because you seem like a smart woman. You graduated from USC. You know some stuff about stuff. Have you ever really been trapped under a blanket?
Yes.
I mean, really?
You know, I have to say that I probably haven't.
But you know why?
I definitely would love to have one of these, and I actually just ordered mine right now.
Oh, so. Lauren, you're going to be so pleased.
Oh, you haven't gotten it yet?
No, I haven't, because I just saw the pub crawl, so then I had to buy it. So
you bought the Snuggie so that you could go on the pub crawl?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's going to be a giant dork fest.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate coming together for the first time in a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. The Snuggie and drinking together, it's like the perfect combination.
That's exactly my line of thought.
For me, drinking is the perfect combination. That's all you need.
Add a Snuggie, it gets even
really
better.
Really just drinking
How do
anything?
You improve on drinking?
You don't.
Add a Snuggie.
You don't.
You stay now, toasty Ralph, warm, and your hands are free, and you're not slipping and sliding, and you're not trapped.
You can even hold your beer very easily if you have a Snuggie on.
All right, let me ask you guys the question. If a blanket slips and slides, how do your hands get stuck? How do you get trapped underneath a blanket if it slips and slides?
Well, they're different activities. When you're moving around and stuff, the blanket slips and slides. When you're watching television, you're cozy, warm.
It holds
and it's
on
up to
you.
It's up to your neck, and then you go to reach for the remote or your drink. It's not good. Blankets aren't good.
What a dork fest this is.
How much do either of you guys know about the plan specifically for the night of the pub crawl? Like, where is it going to be? How many different bars? How many people? What do you guys know about it?
Well, for right now, they just have the plans up for the Chicago one, mm-hmm. which is going to be on March 21st. And I think they have about like 2,000 people registered so far.
Sure they do. Yes, they do, Lauren. They have 2,000.
And I'm not really sure the details, but the Los Angeles one, is the date hasn't been set yet. We don't really know like the details of it, but I'll definitely let you guys know. And people can go to snuggieprobcall.com.
Dude, don't think we haven't. Don't think we haven't done that already.
All I know is Kevin was making fun of us Snuggie fans by saying, 12 people have signed up for the pub crawl. Now it's 50.
I know.
So it's multiplied by 4 times in a day. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Well, if they got 2,000 at the Chicago one, and you know this one just got announced within the last couple of days, I expect the Los Angeles one is going to continue to climb as well.
We're going to crush Chicago.
Be stupid.
We're going to be a voting block. We're going to be a political party.
Need paintball gun by March 21st.
SnuggiePubCrawl.com. Let me ask you, Lauren, before you go. Lauren, are you really going to go to the pub crawl, or is it just a funny thing, a ha-ha that you said
it's
to the Kevin
Bean
show?
It's a funny thing to say.
Let's hear what Lauren says. Are you really going to go?
I definitely am. I mean, I'm still in college right now, and I graduate soon, so I'm definitely going to make this a little end to my senior year.
Okay,
and what a good one it will be.
Will you really go, Ralph?
I will absolutely be there. I will be there by your side, Lauren. We will raise a glass together and toast the Snuggie.
See you there.
I will absolutely be there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
This should be a K-Rock sanctioned event.
Nope.
.com. We should get people down there.
Nope.com.
Lightning should film it.
Not going to happen.
We should have a big, big Snuggie party.
And the best part is about the Snuggie protocol is that a lot of the profits go to help an orphanage in Tanzania. So it actually has
what?
Kind of a...
What kind of...
That sounds like a made-up charity to
okay.
me.
What kind of bizarre mixture of all kinds of thing is this? It's a stupid product, and then you're going to go drink, and then it's going to help an orphanage in Nigeria.
Yeah, look at Kevin turn his nose up at some drinking
event.
What's
going on?
What is with this drinking you people
do? You don't need all this to drink.
So you hate orphans, and you hate drinking, and you don't like to be warm.
This is a mixture of stupidity. That's what this is.
Helping children, drinking, and staying
warm.
You're
not doing this to help children.
All good things. All good things, those three things.
And you would do this without the alcohol, which makes you King Dork.
Just put on a Snuggie and help kids? No, I think I would need the drinks.
All right.
Thank you,
Lauren. What color did you order?
I definitely ordered the blue.
Oh, no. You should have gone with the maroon.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Maroon is sweet.
What's that website again for the pub crawl?
It's
Snuggie Pub. Woo! All right. You can't feed yourself the alley-oop, can you? Really?
I had to.
You're sad.
I am sad.
You want to put on the backwards robe and get a beer.
It's not a backwards robe.
I'm sad
sure
because
that's exactly what it is.
All right.
Well, Evangelina Alvarez from Wilmington, by the way, just won tickets to go see Coldplay. As you know, they are coming to town on the July 18th at the Home Depot Center. Tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. She's also in the grand prize drawing that we'll do on Monday to perhaps go see Coldplay one more time, this time in Bergen, Norway.
Yes! Norway!
That is destination number 4 of the World Tour 2009 from K-Rock. Your chance to win coming up.
Just so people understand, that was a soccer announcer. It was a soccer game. He's not that excited just about Norway.
No.
For the record.
You don't know, man.
All right, let's say good morning to Adam Sessler, who, of course, is our buddy from X-Play on G4. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you again. Big stuff going on in the stores this week, huh?
Yes, I got to say, this is February, and usually this is the month where I like try to find the magic in Checkers because there's no good games coming out.
Right.
But this week alone is phenomenal because there's Street Fighter 4 and the expansion for GTA 4, The Lost and Damned.
Now, Grand Theft Auto, that's just a download thing, right? On
right,
Xbox?
It's just download. But it's very sizable. In the past, sometimes when there's downloadable content for a game that already came out, it's a small couple of missions, maybe, you know, some new things to put in the game. This is a fully formed story that's independent, really, of Grand Theft Auto 4 itself.
Now, let me ask you this, Adam, because Grand Theft Auto is one of the most famous video games in the world, and partly because I think it caught a lot of older people by surprise with how much violence and how much sexuality was in the game.
Yes.
Are they still able to push that envelope, or have they gone about as far as they can go with how much stuff like that they show in the game?
Well, they have full male frontal nudity, and it's an old guy.
Oh, no!
Oh, no one wants to see that.
Here's the...
Yes, they pushed the envelope. I don't know about the direction they pushed it in, but they did push it.
Here's what I like about GTA. Here's the warnings that it has. M for blood, intense violence, partial nudity, strong language, strong sexual content, use of drugs and alcohol.
All right.
All in one game. That's the best.
Yes, that's a one package deal right there. It's
just everything you could want. And this is with bikers, right?
Yes, you play a member of a biker gang, and then the leader of the gang has returned from rehab, and there's a fight within the gang. What's really cool about the game is that you'll intersect with events in Grand Theft Auto 4. So when you played as Nico in the original game and had a shootout in the museum, you'll show up at the museum and see all the dead bodies that he left in his way.
So it's
really neat that way.
Now, Grand Theft Auto, because it has become so popular and has been for so long, there have been a lot of pretenders to the throne. Do you still think they do this sort of thing better than anybody else?
On the whole, yes. They definitely have the best writing. And for a game of this length, you really need to have a strong story to, you know, propel you through the game. Once they fixed the combat, which in Grand Theft Auto 3 and San Andreas was always really touchy. It was very hard to sort of aim at anybody and shoot them.
Right.
They fixed it. It's not perfect, but with that one addition, they really still retain the crown for these big open-world crime games.
Now, the other one that's coming out is Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you have the same kind of conversations at your place of work as we do, and that is Psycho Mike and Dave the King of Mexico yesterday were just about to go to blows about who would win if they were to play against each other in Street Fighter 4.
Yes. Actually, it has so impacted the productivity at X-Play that there's like bans on Street Fighter 4 at the office.
Really?
In the afternoon.
You've got to stop playing this game.
It is so good. It is a near-perfect game. And what's cool is that if you remember playing like Super Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo system back in, 1992, it isn't that different from that game. So that if you haven't played since then, you can grab that controller and get right back in the flow.
So you know right what you're doing based on how you used to play it in 92.
Exactly. And it is so beautiful to look at. It's pretty much hand-drawn. They didn't hire people and put them in silly suits to try to do all the action. So there's this wonderful fluid animation. So you can really see what your opponent is about to do, and you can try to counter his attack.
Now, when they come up with new characters for a game like Street Fighter 4, what do they make them do that differentiates them from the others who have already been around and have become so popular?
Well, they try to give them new fighting styles. You know, a lot has happened sort of in the world of, I guess, fighting and wrestling since, you know, the last Street Fighters came out. So you have El Jefe, who kind of has the Mexican wrestler luchador style.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then you also have, you know, a mixed martial artist as well. And so you're seeing these, and they really do work well in the game, I have to say.
Mm. The Grand Theft Auto 4, by the way, is available as an expansion pack, and that's, of course, just for Xbox 360.
Yes.
You can download that. And then, of course, the Street Fighter 4, that's for everybody's got Street Fighter 4 now, right?
Yes. Not the Wii. It's the PS3 and Xbox 360. And
okay.
One thing I would say, if you're going to compete against people online, I would recommend spending the money on the arcade stick. It really gives you the edge.
That's a good tip.
It's a good tip.
And are you doing some stuff this week on the X-Play show, 8 o'clock weeknights on G4?
Oh, yes, a lot of stuff. It's going to be all about Killzone, Grand Theft Auto, and Street Fighter 4. We just can't get enough of it.
Does Adam have the best job in America, you guys?
Probably. Yeah. He probably does. Yeah.
Only there's a janitor somewhere who's having a much better time than me.
I doubt it. Thank you, Adam. X-Play, again, is at 8 o'clock on G4, and those two games are available now. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks. thank you.
Bye now. Thank you, Lisa. It is 7:54 now and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Remember I told you Catherine McPhee had her own movie coming out?
Sure.
Wedlock.
Yeah.
She's been cast in a romantic comedy with Dave Annabelle from Brothers and Sisters.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just found out today that she's also just been cast a guest star on CSI New York. Catherine McPhee will be appearing.
How about that?
Her career is blowing up. You're welcome, Catherine.
Not as a singer.
It's not.
She'll be playing a singer on CSI New York.
Ah.
So I'm guessing she will be doing some singing as well, yes.
And you're taking credit for this?
Yes.
Huh. All right.
McFever, hello. Remember that?
I remember it in the late 90s when it happened.
That's where it all started.
I haven't heard much talk yet from you about the McCokey or whatever you're going to come up with for this year, Ralph.
Okie Cokey. Everything's going to be okie gokey. That's what I say.
Okay.
Everything's
going to
be okie gokey.
I hope that catches on.
Danny Gokey will be the next American Idol. I think it's going to come down between him and Amanda Pierce. Or whatever her name is. Pierce? Right. Amanda Pierce?
Is that the little blonde with the pink
Alexis
in her
Grace.
Hair?
Alexis Grace is her name.
She's good.
Sounds reasonably. Yeah, those two. But I think everything's going to be okie gokey by the end of the show. That's all I'm saying. You got to do this when you do it. Okie gokey.
You don't have to do that.
Do the okay sign with your fingers.
Just don't have to do that at all.
Ah, look at these two.
Who?
Rachel Bilson and Hayden Christensen.
Oh, really?
Looks like Rachel Bilson is set to be the next Mrs. Darth Vader.
Huh.
They are engaged, Lisa.
No kidding.
How about that?
Didn't even know they were dating.
They've been flying under the radar, pretty much. But apparently they fell in love on the set of Jumper. See, something good came out of that movie.
I always think it's Jumper because of you.
Jumper? Yeah, well, you know how romantic it can be when you're jumping through space and time.
Sure.
Sure.
Nothing better.
So apparently he's given her a ring and they're engaged. So congratulations to those two. A good-looking couple.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
As far as acting goes, they're a good-looking couple. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift wants you to stop thinking about her naked.
Well,
I can't do it.
Sorry.
You must.
I cannot.
New issue of Rolling Stone magazine features Taylor on its cover and does an interview with her. And you find out such fascinating facts about Taylor as she's never had a cigarette.
Wow.
She has never touched a drop of alcohol. She still lives with her parents. Isn't she like 12 or something?
What's
Doesn't
wrong
all this
with her?
Make
19.
Sense? She's 19.
Huh.
Asked regarding sexual intercourse and whether she's engaged or not. Taylor responded, I feel like whatever you say, whether you do or you don't, it makes people picture you naked. And as much as possible, I'm going to avoid that. So she wants herself out of your spank bank, quite frankly. That's what she wants. Nope. Stop
That's,
thinking about
not
it.
Not possible. I'm sorry.
You should have thought she was hot.
Yeah. That's right.
Well,
not our
stop
fault she's hot.
About you naked. Stop being so hot.
Her album went back to number one after her appearance on the Grammys, by the way. It's the biggest album of the year, by far, so far.
Monster. Mm. Monster album.
Don't know anything about her music, but hot.
Country.
It's country. You know what?
Country,
like
okay.
It. It's crap.
Yeah.
But she's hot.
But it's barely
she's
country.
She's good,
it's
yeah.
barely music.
It's good.
You mean barely country? You mean like it's like
real poppy. Poppy. Yeah, it's it's bubblegum pop country.
Yeah, I'm out.
It's Hannah Montana for the country set. Although Hannah Montana, I guess, would be country for the country set.
Sure.
But, American Idol, turns out a lot of people watch.
It's a good story.
The Nielsen ratings are in for last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, Lisa, here you do this one.
No.
You do the story about
American
the top
Idol
10. No, do the top 10 ratings.
Turns out a lot of people watch.
No, Nielsen's in. Nielsen ratings are in. You do the story. Come on.
Right,
come on, tough guy. Come on, Lisa. Let me hear.
I just thought it was funny.
Let me hear you do the story.
All right, so American Idol was number one.
Uh-huh.
And the Wednesday show, which is the results show, that was number two.
Right.
That's bullshit.
The Mentalist, which all of us love.
That's a good show.
It's number three.
Yeah,
NCIS, which only Bean's dad watches.
Right.
Number four. CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, as we know.
Yes.
CSI, yeah. Number five.
You're slow now.
Number six, Grey's Anatomy. I'm the only one here that watches that,
That's
but
right.
I love it. Two and a Half Men is seven. Without a Trace is eight. Private Practice, which is a horrible show. I can't believe it's number nine, is number nine. Desperate Housewives is number 10. That's all we care about, right?
That's right. The top
all right.
10.
Yeah. I sure brought it.
That's
Thank
good.
You.
That was
so,
good.
Thank you.
I sure brought it.
Yeah. Thought you were trying to sell me a phone.
Fascinating.
Once again, NBC, no shows in the top 10.
No. You don't see an NBC show. Let me just double check to make sure I'm right here. You don't see an NBC show by the seashore in the top 20.
Wow.
Yeah, they're hurt.
Remember, they used to have that Thursday lineup that nobody could beat?
Yep.
It was all NBC.
No, everybody could beat it.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Hayley Duff's 24 years old today. Benicio Del Toro turns 42. Justine Bateman is 43. Remember her from Family Ties?
Yeah.
Right?
She's
Michael J. Fox's sister, Mallory.
Mallory!
So hot. So hot on that show. Stallone? Apparently.
He's there.
What's
but...
your boyfriend's name?
I don't know. Scott Valentine was the actor. I can't remember the name of the...
It was like Spike or something.
Yeah, he was the bad boy.
God, what happened to him?
I don't know. Dave Wakeling from English Beat and General Public is 53. Jeff Daniels, the actor, is 54. And singer Seal celebrates his 46th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You know, we've been doing this show for many, many years, Kevin. I don't think we've ever had a NASCAR race car driver in from Wisconsin as a guest on the show. This could be a first for us here this morning, but he is Matt Kenseth, and he is the winner of your Daytona 500 this past weekend. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Great to meet you. Thanks for joining us. I was just saying right before we went on the air, what an unbelievably crazy week it has been for you. I mean, they got you going like a ping pong ball ever since you won that race Sunday, right?
Yeah, better be going like a ping pong ball this week than in the race. So we were able to miss that big wreck. But yeah, it's been a really busy week and been a lot of fun so far.
One of the articles that I read about your winning is that you hope to win. You don't count on it. And you weren't prepared at all for what was going to happen in terms of them whisking you out of the car, basically, and right on the media trail. I mean, you literally didn't even have a change of clothes with you, right?
Well, yeah, I didn't really pack all the stuff I guess I was supposed to have have for the week, and they weren't real happy about that. But we got that all taken care of. So I they always tell you, you know, you're going to take it for the whole week and not even let you go home if you win the Daytona 500.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Literally. And, they mean that literally?
Yeah, literally. Haven't been home. So they you're supposed to be prepared for that, and I was prepared 1 year, and we crashed out right away. So I kind of was thinking it was bad luck.
I don't worry about it once we won.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, let me ask you a question, Matt. I don't know if there is even an answer to this, but I've never understood why the Daytona 500, which is really, I mean, if not the biggest, certainly one of the biggest NASCAR races of the season, why do they have it first? It just seems kind of anticlimactic now, whatever comes after, right?
Well, not really. You know, I think it's really a pretty good strategy. You know, you go run a Daytona 500. It's the biggest race of the year. It gets everybody amped up for the season. You spend the whole offseason preparing for that race. And then you go race all year to try to make the chase for the championship, which is the last 10 weeks. And then they crown the champion the last race of the season, just like really any other sport. So
it's sort of like having the Super Bowl first.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, you still are. The champion's not crowned until the end of the year, so you have the champion of that race, which is the biggest race of the year, but then you have the overall season champion at the end of the year. So it's kind of like bookends, and I think it's a good plan, you know, because everybody's really looking forward to the season before they get started, and then you got all year to race for a championship.
Yeah, so every race counts. Every race, you're trying to accrue points. So even if you don't win, if you come in fifth or eighth or whatever it is, you're still adding to points that could eventually make you the champion for the whole season.
Yeah, exactly. We have the chase to the championship, which is the last 10 weeks. The top 12 cars battle it out for a championship. And, yeah, the first 26 races trying to get positioned to make that top 12. And then the last 10, you go race for a championship.
Now, Matt, you're one of these guys, and you're lucky that you are, who knew what you wanted to do for a living since the time you were a little kid, right?
Well, I knew what I liked to do, but I never really dreamed I would make a living at it. I mean, who makes a living to drive race cars, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Is it true that you got your first car at age 13, even though you couldn't even drive it?
Well, I was about about 16. I started working on my first cars when I was 13. My dad's race cars that he drove, I kind of learned to work on them, and that's the part that I was really fascinated me, to be honest with you, was working on the cars and trying to get, you know, your car or the guy's car I was working on or whatever faster than the next guy's car. So I've always been kind of obsessed by
but it wasn't the driving part faster. Of it at first.
Not at first. My dad raced for a few years, and I worked on his car. And I guess I was his crew chief. I was his everything, really. I did all the work on the car, and he'd come home after work and stand in the garage in front of the wood stove and watch me work on it.
Wow. So when you finally get your license at 15 and a half or 16 like that, and you're able to start driving, how do you go? I mean, you're living in a small town in Wisconsin. How do you kind of start even the job of becoming a race car driver? How do you work your way up through the ranks in order to get noticed and go pro?
Well, you know, really, when we started, you know, honestly, you know, racing in any NASCAR series or doing any of this was probably the, you know, not even a wild dream. I mean, really. So we started racing up around some local short tracks in Wisconsin, really just for something constructive, you know, for father and son to do together, something to do to spend some time together, get to know each other better.
Would you run your dad off the track, and would he run you off the track if possible?
Well, when we only raced together for a little bit of time. When I turned 16, my dad still was driving, and I started driving, and we drove a little bit together for that 1 year. Then the following year, I kind of beat him for a few weeks in a row, and then he decided to hang it up and put the effort and time and money into my racing program. So we didn't have really a lot of money, and I've been really fortunate through my career to meet people that would let me drive their equipment, you know, at different tracks and different series, different cars that we can afford to run. I've just met a lot of great people along the way that really helped me out.
Now, a lot of parents would not be keen on their kid going into an occupation that potentially could be so dangerous. But I guess since your dad kind of came from the same background, he understood why it was something you really wanted to do.
Yeah, he did. I was pretty much hooked right away. I was really hooked on the cars and the mechanics part and making them go fast. But once I started driving, I liked that too. But to be honest with you, I like trying to make my car faster than everybody's because I always figured, and it's still true to this day, if you made your car faster than everybody else's more times than not, you're going to beat them. You know, if my car was faster, I could beat that guy. If my car wasn't faster, I was going to have a hard time.
You're hell
him,
on so. Your pit crew, aren't you?
Well, that was before the days we had pit crews. Oh, right. You know, I mean, that was when we just went out and ran a 50-lap feature or a 30-lap feature or what have you. So it's definitely different today. You know, you got to have your car faster, but you also have to have a faster pit crew and better guys preparing your car and so on.
This is the voice of Matt Kenseth in the studio of the world-famous Carrick. He is your winner for the Daytona 500. We are going to take some phone calls for him, by the way, in a couple of minutes at 1-800-520-1067. Explain to me, Matt, why they put restrictors on your cars at the Daytona 500, why you can't drive as fast as you can, say, this weekend at the Auto Club Speedway.
Well, they really did it back in the day because the cars were getting too fast. You know, for Daytona and Talladega, they're very high banked and very big tracks, and they were running in the 220s or something like that. And through the years, NASCAR has figured out kind of through trial and error and then later on through testing that I think it's about 193-ish or 4-ish. Over that speed, the cars will get airborne when they spin out. And they were having cars almost get up in the stands. They were getting, you know, Bobby Allison, when he had that wreck, was on the top of the fence at Talladega and spinning around and almost ended up in the grandstand. So really it's for
and Ricky Bobby, he had that horrible accident. He was running around on
his
fire
underwear,
in his underwear. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
yeah
ugly.
That's because he didn't have a restrictor plate. No, so for Daytona and Talladega, they run restrictor plates for
which
our safety
means
and for
you
the
can
fan
only
safety.
Go that speed.
Well, it just limits our horsepower, so we're running about wide open, and in a big draft we'll still get maybe a little over 200 for a little bit, but we average about 190 miles an hour.
Is it noticeable enough for you as a driver that it's kind of frustrating? You feel like, hey, I should be getting a few more miles per hour out of this, and it's not?
Yeah, I mean, the frustrating part about restrictor plate racing and the different part of it, we only do it four times a year, but you're pretty much wide open the whole time. So it's more about the draft you get with another car and the momentum of the other cars around you, and it's more of a chess game than the rest of the kind of racing. At Auto Club Speedway this weekend, we'll be running 205 on the straightaways or something like that, and 160 or 150 in the corners, because that's as fast as we can get around them flat corners. And that's more about, you know, driving technique, having your car handle better than the next guys, you know, setting somebody up and figuring out how to finish the pass. It's a totally different kind of racing. But Daytona, you still have to handle, and there's certainly an art to it, and there's times where it can be frustrating if your car won't go fast enough, because there's not anything you can, or not much you can do as a driver to make up for that. You can't really make it go faster. You're already on the floor.
Matt, what is it? I know even in this weekend's Daytona 500, there was a driver who got penalized for, I don't even know what they call it. It's not unsportsmanlike conduct, but it's something that he did that was illegal. What are you allowed to do to the other cars, and what aren't you allowed to do to the other cars when you're trying to jockey for position or kind of move them around the track?
Well, it's kind of a ball and strike call sometime. I think NASCAR, they do a really good job at figuring it out. But they give us a lot of leeway to race. All the drivers have quite a bit of respect for each other and try to do the right things more often than not. But if they see somebody get out of line and maybe be a little bit too aggressive and cause some kind of wreck, or maybe put somebody in a position where they could possibly hurt or something like that, they'll step in and they'll intervene and penalize somebody. So I think it happened on Saturday's race. Somebody got penalized a few laps for aggressive driving, they call it. So
I was going to say, there has to always be, there's always an a-hole in the group. You know what I mean? Like, in any group, there's always an a-hole. Doesn't matter if, you know, what group it is. So there's
we'll
always got
to win.
There's always got to be that driver that everybody's like, oh, dear God. Right? Who is it now?
I just hope it's not me.
Before the break, and we'll go to your phone calls for Matt Kenseth, how tough was it to drive the Daytona 500 in those rainy conditions? What's that like for you?
Well, they shut it down if it starts raining, but you know, if the surface gets wet at all, we can't, our cars and the tires and that type of track and all that can't handle the wet conditions. So it was the toughest part was we all knew the rain was coming eventually. We all knew the event was probably going to be shortened and not get to 500 miles. So we were all racing hard and jockeying for position, trying to be the leader when that did happen.
Did you know that you were the leader? Because it sound the announcers, I have a clip of the announcers. They kind of sound like they're not even sure when it's going to get called, and then it gets
called. All right, the race has officially been declared final. It is over. So Matt Kenseth, okay, Jack right. Roush, there is your Daytona 500 winner in the 51st running of the Great American Race, the 2009 champ, Matt Kenseth, in a backup car, slipping through for the lead, and now the victory in the rain-shortened Daytona 500.
So did you know at that moment you were ahead and if they canceled it now?
Yeah, as soon as they – yeah, we were ahead when the last caution came out. We actually – the timing worked out perfect. We actually got a run on Elliott Sadler and was able to pass him into turn one and two. And we were down in turn three. We didn't even run a whole lap, and the caution came out for an accident. And during that caution period, the rain started, and the rain started to pick up. And there was enough rain behind it, and it takes long enough to dry the track where they couldn't get it restarted. Yeah.
What a sweet feeling to win the Daytona 500, though. I mean –
you didn't finish it, but you won. You beat everyone.
But you grow up seeing, you know, people you idolize win this race, and now your name is up there with them. I mean, that has to just be something you'll never forget.
It is. It's pretty cool. You know, to win a championship in 03 was pretty awesome, and that's kind of the top of the sport is to be able to win that championship. But next to that, to win the Daytona 500, I knew it was a big deal. But to be honest with you, I didn't realize how big a deal it was. I mean, this week has been just unbelievable. It's been more intense, and I've heard from more people and done more things than really when we won the championship. So it's pretty crazy.
Hey, you got
crazy,
to meet Regis cool Philbin. Doesn't get any bigger than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty cool group to be part of. And to get to come and do this, it doesn't get any better.
All right, we got to take a break. Matt Kenseth is here with us. By the way, you can meet Matt. He'll be signing autographs today, and our own Psycho Mike is going to be there, too. It is Auto Club Speedway Day at 11 o'clock this morning, just a couple hours from now at the Century Plaza Towers at Century Park in L.A. You can, I guess you're going to be there. Do you bring your car with you or Matt, or what do people get to see if they come out and see you?
Our car is in the Daytona 500 experience, and I don't know if there's going to be a show car there or not, to be totally honest with you.
But you'll be there and you'll be signing autographs again. That's Auto Club Speedway Day today at 11 at Century Plaza Towers. We'll take your phone calls for Matt Kenseth when we return right after this on the world famous.
Matt, what does it mean to you as a racer from the time you were a child to win this race?
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be really wet out here. Spreading. You're crying like a baby, but
are you crying? Did that happen?
That was a voiceover.
It sounds like you're crying.
No,
let me play
me.
A little more. Let's
just really need to thank my team and thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity, first of all.
You're crying.
I was maybe a little bit emotional, but I wasn't crying.
You were crying.
Like, it wasn't like the faucets were on.
Had a lot of great opportunities in my life with my family and getting me into racing and really DeWalt, Ford, Carhartt, USD Sheetrock, Arnold Carriers, all the sponsors that we had that have stuck by us and made this happen in an up economy and a down economy. And
is there some kind of war going on in the background?
They were taking shots at me. That's why I was trying to get in. I was trying to get in all my sponsors and everything as quick as I could. So, they had the fireworks going off, and it was I was a little emotional. We haven't won for a year, and Drew just came on board as our new crew chief and working together with Chip and a lot of people on the team this year did a lot of different things to try to make the team better.
How much work is it that we are not aware of, that people that aren't in the racing world are not aware of?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. This year's been just a little bit better without testing in off season. We haven't been going doing all that, but they spend a lot of time at the shop and building the engines and the cars. We build everything. You don't really buy anything, so they spend a lot of time to make these things as fast as they can.
Matt Kenseth in the studio of the world-famous K-Rec here this morning. Of course, he's racing in the Auto Club 500 at the Auto Club Speedway. That's going to be this Sunday. Now, this is a big one, too. I mean, I know the Daytona 500 is just behind us, but Jimmy Johnson's in this race, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Tony Stewart. You're going to be there. You won this race a couple years ago, didn't you, Matt?
Yeah, we've been able to win it a couple times. So it is a great racetrack out there. It really is in Fontana. And there is going to be a great race this weekend, and they've been trying to help the fans out a lot, too, to get them to come out there and watch. I know there's $35 tickets still available on Auto Club Speedway.com, I believe. So I should go check it out. It's a really exciting race. It's the second race of the year, and it's kind of the start of the run for everybody trying to position themselves to try to run for a championship. So it should be a good one.
Let's take a couple of quick phone calls because we got some good ones from NASCAR fans on the line. Let's start with Greg in Glendora. He's on line 8. He's asking a question that I was wondering about, too. Hi, Greg. You're on with Matt Kenseth. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Matt. What point during the season you start helping your other Roush teammates on the track, like letting them lead a lap?
At what point do you just say, I want to win, and I'm not going to help anyone, you mean?
Screw you, Carl. Edwards. When do you say that?
You know, we all work pretty well together, but really the main part of being teammates and being part of a big team is helping each other during the week and in preparation, during the weekend, during practice sessions, debriefing after practice sessions, talking about maybe something you tried in your car that made it drive better to help them guys get their cars running faster as well, or when you need help to go talk to them to get it faster.
But on race day, it's not that?
On race day, except for Daytona and Talladega, it's pretty much every man for himself. I mean, if there's something you can do to help your teammate that will not hurt your own efforts, you know, you will do that. I mean, if you're side by side and you're not going to lose a lot of time by maybe letting your teammate leave a lap and get 5 bonus points, you'll probably do that. But even if you're 10 or 15 car lengths ahead, you're not going to slow down and let your teammate lead a lap that might hurt your own efforts. You know, if right. you don't get another caution and you lose the race by that 8 or 10 car lengths that you gave up, I mean, that doesn't make sense. So you still have to think about, you know, your own team first.
Have you ever gotten fights with other drivers?
Not physical fights. I know I look pretty big to you guys, but I don't. I'm not really built for fighting, so I'm not a big fighter. I've certainly had some disagreements and probably not done some smart things, or I've had people mad at me, but I've been able to avoid getting the crap kicked out of me so far.
How do you? I don't know. I'm not quite sure how to phrase this question, but I would imagine one of the toughest things about the level of racing that you do is being able to see the whole field, be aware of what's beside you, what's behind you, what's ahead of you, and do it all in a split second while you're concentrating on driving. I mean, is that something you're just kind of born with? Or do you teach yourself to be able to have that kind of peripheral vision?
Well, I mean, there's a few things you need to be aware of, you know, where the other cars are and what's going on. And a lot of that comes natural. A lot of it, you know, you have mirrors in your car, you can look around. Another thing is we all have spotters up on top of the grandstands, basically, that are always watching the whole track that feed you the information that you would like, you know, like when cautions come out or if there's a wreck far enough in front of you, they'll kind of tell you where it's at and where they think the best route is to get through that wreck without getting in it and without getting the car damaged and stuff. So I got a really good spotter that is really good at that stuff and knows what I like to hear and knows the information that I want, and that helps a lot.
So you are getting constant information fed to you in your ears. You don't just have an iPod going.
No, no iPod going, but some tracks that'd be a good idea, like maybe Pocono or something. But you're in communication with your crew chief, you know, to talk about you know, your car and how it's handling and what adjustments you'd like, and he's telling you when to pit and what our gas mileage is and stuff like that. And then you also are on the radio with your spotter, so he can tell you what's going on the track, which helps a lot. And all the crew guys have radios on, although they don't use them really to talk, but they use it to listen to us, so we all are on the same page when it comes time.
You have somebody make reservations at a restaurant,
yeah,
stuff like that.
If you need it, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go to
with your cell phone.
Let's go to Jose in La Puente. Good morning, Jose.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Jose.
You're on with Matt. What's your question?
Congratulations, Matt, on your win.
Thank you.
The question is, what are the chances of that 88 of Dale Jr. going into the wall this weekend, being what happened last weekend?
Is there payback like that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's times where drivers have disagreements. Other drivers maybe aren't happy about something that happened. And, you know, sometimes on the track there's probably situations you could get in where if somebody was mad at you or you're mad at them and the cars were in just the right spot where maybe you could maybe do something to that guy. But I don't think it happens as much as it used to. It really doesn't help your own effort to really concentrate on something bad that happened or be mad at somebody or be thinking about that. You know, if you're doing that, you're losing focus, you know, on what's important, which is trying to lead laps and win races.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Alessandra. She's actually calling from Florida on line 4. Now, Alessandra, do you just happen to be listening to K-Rock on the internet, or did you tune in because you knew that we'd have this guest this morning?
Well, I absolutely love your show a lot, and I used to live in California, and so I was just, I listened to you every, it's like 11 o'clock around here every day.
Wow. Right. Thank you for that.
You're on with Matt. What's your question?
Okay, it seems like racing would be a sport for men and women to compete as equals, and it seems like there's not very many women drivers, so I was wondering Matt's view on that.
Have you seen the way women drive on the freeway? You want to put them on a track? I mean, I don't want to take your question, Matt, but seriously, is she crazy?
You're good.
You'd rather not answer
that
one?
Yeah, it's all you, buddy.
Why do you think that is? Is it
Is that harder for women to get through?
I don't know exactly, but I will say that the sport is diverse and the opportunities are the same for everybody. Actually, if you had, you know, the right woman come in that could compete and could run with the guys and be competitive, they probably have more of an opportunity than a man, to be honest with you, because the sponsors would eat it up. And it's a sponsor-driven sport, you know, and without sponsors, and like we have DeWalt power tools on the side of our car, we can't afford to go to the racetrack. So the opportunities are there. I've seen a lot of women drivers get opportunities to come in there. But I think a lot of it really is, you know, when I grew up, racing. I grew up because, you know, working on race cars and driving race cars and working on them all the time and learning about them all the time. And I didn't race against any women back then, you know, so there was no girls that, you know, when they grew up, they weren't like, man, I want to go work on cars. Oh, I want to go race cars. You know what I mean?
So it'll be a whole nother generation probably before.
Yeah. So the pile of available drivers is a lot smaller than the pile of available male drivers because, you know, guys like cars and speed, and that's what they've always done.
Do they put the drivers in piles? Does that happen?
I could think of a better word, different word. But I will say, I've been to some local short tracks. My son Ross is 15, and he's been racing, and there's two or three girls that he races against that are his age. So I will say that there are more females that are starting to take up racing at a younger age and are more interested in it. And with that happening now, you know, I'm sure that'll translate into, you know, being moving up and being in NASCAR ranks later on.
Shouldn't they be at home cooking for when you get back from the track? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm just asking.
That's Bede, and everyone hates him, and that's why right there.
Matt Kenseth is the winner of the Daytona 500. Can he make it two in a row? You can see him this weekend at the Auto Club Speedway. That is the Auto Club 500. As you mentioned, there are still some $35 tickets available and other seats at different prices available for the race this Sunday. And you like that track. You say it's a good time and no rain this year, according to the forecast so far. Looks like you're going to have a dry track this year.
Yeah, that's good. I do like the track. It really is an exciting track to come to. It's one of those that on TV doesn't really do it justice because you can sit on the front stretch and watch a car cars go by at 205 miles an hour, which is pretty cool if you've never seen that in person. And there's a lot of speed there, a lot of two and three wide racing, nice wide racetracks. So it's pretty fun.
You can meet Matt this morning, too, at 11 o'clock. It's Auto Club Speedway Day. Psycho Mike is going to be down there, too, at the Century Plaza Towers at Century Park, and that is on Century Park East in Los Angeles. Matt, great to meet you. Congratulations again on the win. We really appreciate you stopping by, dude.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. What's this? What are they stopping us from doing now? Why is the government restricting everything that's fun, Kevin?
Well, this happens to be in England, I believe, because they're saying that at this, it's the Warrington Bay Quay Station.
Okay, what is that?
Is a romance-free zone. You're not allowed to kiss.
What?
There.
It's a public transportation, right?
Yes.
It's a train station or something.
You're not,
so they're trying
like
to stop people
station.
From kissing when they
kiss.
Not allowed to
when
kiss.
When they drop off, maybe it's one of those deals where you drop somebody off to take the transportation and they are tying up traffic by making out or something?
I don't know. Apparently, the Chamber of Commerce put in this rule. They put up a picture of a guy and a woman and a man. And, you know, the circle through it,
right,
saying no kissing. Apparently people were missing their trains or complaining. I don't know. I can't imagine this is an important
That seems ridiculous.
Thing to happen. But we do have a spokesman on the phone. Good morning, sir. Who is this?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We are good. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you.
This is Colin Daniels, the chief executive of the Warren Chamber of Commerce. Is that right, sir?
Indeed it is.
Okay. What's wrong with a little, hey, honey, have a nice day, goodbye kiss as you drop your husband or wife off at the train station?
Women are gross.
What?
Women are gross.
Women make the world go round.
The guys that are kissing them don't think they're gross.
But still... We don't need to see that while we're all going to work in the morning or getting about our days.
Isn't kissing somebody pretty much the least offensive thing you can do?
Nope.
It's not, okay?
Not
come. Okay, wow.
But, I mean, I don't get the sense from this article, Colin, that people are making out or making babies as they drop each other off to pick up a train. It's just really a kiss on the cheek and then they're gone.
Kissing is a gateway drug. First, it's the kissing. Next thing you know, it'll be oral sex.
Well, no, I don't think that's true at all.
Then they will be making babies, and then eventually giving birth to babies in the rail station itself.
I think that's unlikely.
But more importantly, women are gross.
Gross, right.
First of all, and it's a well-known fact, they have cooties.
There's not even anything that
If you don't mind my asking, how
and
old are you?
They don't speak very well, too. Well, tell from that jumble of words that that woman-type creature can't tries to get that out of her pie hole.
Well, you are right in this case, Colin. So you are not married?
No, sir.
Really?
Never have been. Did never you have, intend to be.
Did you ever have a date?
No, sir.
Mm.
Find women most distasteful. First okay. of all, they're gross.
Right, you said that. Are you?
Secondly, they have the vague odor of fish and chips.
Stop it. Oh, what is wrong with you?
Rude. Without the chips.
That's just rude. Now,
yes, it is. And I wish occasionally they would bathe.
Okay. What about...
Or at least take some measures to stop the seagulls from circling over.
Stop it. What's wrong with you?
As they come to our railway station.
This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous that women are allowed to ride the rails at all. It's a questionable decision on behalf of Parliament, in my opinion.
If a man dropping off a woman or a woman dropping off a man to get on the train wants to give him a kiss and say goodbye, there's nothing wrong with that. They're not stopping traffic. They're not making people miss their trains. You're overreacting by turning your station into a no-kissing station.
Did I mention they were gross?
You did, yeah.
Now, if a man wants to drop off another man and give him a manly, masculine kiss goodbye, well, then that's okay with me.
You're good with that.
I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little male bonding, just a sharing of men being manly together.
So
just
so,
a big hug and a big French kiss before another friend of yours goes off to fight in the Boer Wars or play a game of cricket. But we don't need smelly, stinky,
all right.
gross, cootie-filled women
all right.
I think we
mucking
understand.
About on our railway okay. station, causing everyone to turn up their nose in disgust.
And all right, we're going to
the fellow
have to disagree.
Travelers, what is that clam-like odor?
Need sleep? No crazy gimmicks, no middleman markups, just the best mattress you've ever slept on at a great value. Go to customcomfortmattress.com for a store near you. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You sound a little drunk today.
I do, don't I?
I might say so.
I just slurred right through that.
You were drinking?
That was weird.
No crazy gimmicks. Just a nice soft bed laid out and we've had some to drink.
Maybe I need to drink. That might be the problem.
That could be, yeah. You need to keep drinking.
Yeah.
It's 8:54 now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Sunday. The 81st.
Sunday.
81st annual Oscars.
Yes.
Academy Awards. It's going to be a good one this year.
And by define good one.
Well, I always go by the quality of the films that are being nominated and the performances that are being nominated. And it's just an exceptional crop of movies and performances this year.
But don't they have, like,
that's what excites me about the
tributes
awards.
To short films from Sweden or some BS?
They do give away awards to foreign films and to shorter films and experimental films and documentaries and that sort of thing. But that's all part of the big
picture.
And
they play the original music, which a lot of times isn't really that good.
Come on, Kevin, open up.
I'm just saying.
Look, we made the same suggestion for the Grammys. You break it up into two shows. You have a one-hour Oscar show with the stuff that people care about, and then all the other stuff that the film industry thinks is important. You make it a three-hour special and put it on cable. Boom. Done. Done.
But the thing about the smaller films they talk about and the documentaries and things like that is it's sometimes the first time you've heard of these films, and you go, wow, that sounds kind of interesting, and then you check it out and say, wow, I really enjoyed that. I would have known otherwise if it hadn't won an Oscar.
Then you go watch the three-hour cable version. That's what you do.
You're just wrong. You're
I'm just saying. You're Kevin, I hate to agree with Kevin.
I know
he's right on this.
No, but remove Kevin in the right direction this year. We've got him to... He went to see Slumdog Millionaire and Milk. He's seeing films he never would have seen.
That's true.
We got momentum here, Bean. Don't be a speed bump.
I'm just saying it's not a great TV show as much as it is important to the movie industry. I get that. And it should be. But it's not a great TV show. It's too slow.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And it is the 81st, as I mentioned, this Sunday. 5 o'clock it starts on ABC 7. I've got some limited edition Oscar posters and T-shirts to give away. You can't get these anyplace. These are from the Academy. But we've got them to give away. I've got 5 pairs of T-shirt and poster combos to give away. I want to give them away with some Oscar trivia, though. And I thought this was pretty interesting when I found out about this. In the 81 years the Oscars have been held, it's only been delayed or postponed 3 times in its history.
Delayed or postponed 3 times?
Yes. Out of 81 years. The first was in 1938 because Los Angeles was flooded.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Could have happened this year.
Sure.
1968, the assassination of Martin Luther King. They thought it was bad taste to go on with the show, so they postponed it that year. And the last time they did it was in 1981.
Ooh, 81.
Ooh, if you know why that happened, call now. 1-800-520-1067.
You can't win, Bean.
If you know why the Oscars were delayed in 1981, Call now, 1-800-520-1067. The first five people with the correct answer will get a very special limited edition Oscar t-shirt and poster to celebrate the 81st Oscars.
Oscar, what's your t-shirt like?
It's a beautiful t-shirt of me, the Golden Boy. No. Yeah, I'm a champion. I have my gloves.
No, it's a different Golden Oscar. This is a statue Oscar.
High above the city of East Los Angeles. No, it's not Oscar De La Hoya. From there.
It's a statue
I'm wearing a Virgin Mary robe. And
I'm not sure what that is, but
I'm not sure that what it is either.
Phone's busy.
God damn it.
Coldplay would like to do something nice for you.
Okay.
We'll have to see whether their record company will let them do it or not. They would like to put together a live album, and then those people who attend their upcoming tour dates this summer will get it handed to them free as they enter the venue. A free Coldplay album from Coldplay.
Wow. Free! Free! That's a good idea.
We're playing a lot of shows in the summer, Chris Martin says, and I think it would be a nice thing to do. Bearing in mind the recession we're all in, record a live album and give it to them as a gift.
Would it cost a lot for the person receiving the album?
You can't set yourself up, dude.
I think it would be free.
Free!
Now, Chris says it might be a bit tricky in terms of record contracts and things.
Sure.
But it would be great. It would be a great way of saying thank you. So apparently he's working with their record label now to see if they will give them permission to give away this CD.
It's a good time to be asking for stuff like that. In general, they are usually very receptive.
Well, I think Chris Martin's thinking on the other end of it, it's hard for people who don't have a lot of cash maybe to buy the new Coldplay album. So maybe it would be nice to give that to them as a thank you for all their support.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We have a winner already?
We do.
I thought this was going to be a tough one.
I guess not. It's Oscar in Los Angeles.
Oh, stop it. Oscar can't win his own contest.
I'm not joking. Oscar?
Oscar, yeah.
Oscar, why were the Oscars postponed in 1981?
Attempted assassination of President Reagan.
That's right. When they shot Reagan, they said, we're not going to carry on with the show. We're going to wait to make sure he's out of danger first before we do the Oscars. Congratulations. You're the winner. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, okay?
Enjoy the shirt with me as a great champion. I'm dressed as an Aztec warrior.
No, you're not. It's a different Oscar.
Yeah, the
Academy Award. It's a statue. It has nothing to do with you.
Golden Boy. Great champion.
This is good news. Bones and Thug and Harmony.
I think it's Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Why can't they all get together? Why can't Bones and Thug and Harmony all be together?
I'm not sure.
Bone Thugs and Harmony have announced they are doing a very special duet with one of the leading hip-hop artists of our generation.
Denny Blaze.
Kevin Federline.
Yes.
No. Wow.
Sure would like to have a song about that and talk to him. That would sure be cool.
Lazy Bone says...
Lazy's the best.
He is.
Yeah.
As Bone Thugs and Harmony with a brand new platform, we're coming to show everyone what type of real hit makers we are. We're going to prove y'all wrong, TMZ. Kevin Federline is going to be platinum when Bone Thugs and Harmony is done with him. So apparently they are working together on a track.
Well, they are. They do have the platinum touch if they can make a hit record despite the limitation of Kevin Federline. I'll tell you that. You gotta give him credit.
That'd be some doing.
That is the biggest challenge ever.
That'd be like being a director and getting a Oscar-nominated performance out of Denise Richards. I mean, that's the kind of level of talent we're talking about. So
he's still singing and rapping? Really? K-Fed? Really?
Yes. He's Come eating. On. I know that much.
Yeah, he is eating a lot.
Biggity fat.
He is really eating.
Maybe that'll be their new track. Maybe that's what they're working on.
Figgity fat?
Yeah. Maybe it's, like Chicken Bone Thugs and Harmony or something. Right? Something about hot wings.
A couple of the member Bone Thugs are pretty fat themselves.
Are they?
They have that.
Maybe that's how they found each other, on some sort of food message board or something. tweeting each other about what was good to eat.
Isn't it tough enough to remain, credible as Bone Thugs and Harmony in 2009? Aren't you really risking it by associating with Kevin Federline?
Are they credible right now? Would you say?
That's what I'm saying. It's hard enough for them to try to stay relevant and credible. Hooking up with K-Fed is not going to help.
I think after a member of their group was on Celebrity Fit Club, they threw credibility right out of
there. Give it up,
perhaps.
It's even harder when people are calling you Bones and Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
It's even harder to get credible.
It does make it harder.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jeff Daniels is 54 years old today. Dave Wakeling from General Public and English Beat turns 53. Justine Bateman from Family Ties. We had a discussion an hour ago. What was the name of her
character?
Her boyfriend. It was Mallory. Her boyfriend's name is Nick, played by Scott Valentine. Benicio Del Toro from Traffic is 42 years old today. Haley Duff turns 24. And singer and husband to Heidi Klum, Seal. He is 46 years old today. Hey, Mike. Seriously. Really?
What?
Really?
What?
What's He's laughing so hard, he had to bury his head in his Columbo raincoat.
I know.
It's the 9,000th time we played that sound effect. And he's losing it like he's just heard it.
It's always funny.
Because that's what champions do.
That's what
champions that is what do. Champions do.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And thanks to all of our many, many guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Sessler is the host and managing editor of X-Play on G4. Tell us about the new Street Fighter 4 and Grand Theft Auto 4. A lot of fours in this plug right here. Great to have him on the show today. Also from CareerBuilder.com, Michael Irwin. I want to thank Matt Kenseth for joining us today, your Daytona 500 winner. You can meet him with Psycho Mike this morning at 11 o'clock at the Century Plaza Towers at Century Park in Los Angeles, signing autographs. And I think that's it, but we got a big program planned for 1 hour starting at 5 o'clock this afternoon, right?
Kevin Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. We're going to talk about One Girl, One Tale. And it's going to be
the hottest video on the internet right now.
Omar and I were watching it, and he said, it's so hot and so disturbing at the same time. It really is.
I don't think it's real.
You don't?
I don't... It's hard to believe.
It's the biggest tail I've ever seen on a person.
It's a
for
tail.
Real. That's
it's
for sure.
It's a full-fledged horse
I'm
going to
send you some pictures, Bean, if that's the biggest one you've ever seen.
Really?
That's the biggest one I've ever seen.
Oh, dude.
Really?
Not even close.
Wow. I mean, I've seen photos that are probably Photoshopped of fake tails.
No,
but this one
I've
looks
got
real.
Medical photos to show you of people who look positively prehensile.
Really?
Yes. Okay. They're like opossums. They should be hanging from a tree branch someplace.
So that's coming up this afternoon. Plus, we have more chances for you to qualify for K-Rock's World Tour Coldplay in Norway. And tomorrow morning, we have Eliza Dushku on the program.
Wow. Whores? I'm going to ask her that question when she comes in.
I'm going to try not to.
Whores?
Also, the movie beat, we're going to have an author of a book, Joy King, who is going to tell you how to get into porn. For all of you that are dying to do that.
If you've got a tail, even better.
That's correct. And Oscar drinking games tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh,
you have to drink every time.
No,
powerful fish.
Has nothing to do with
Los Angeles.
No.
Let me tell you the best thing about all these Kevin and Bean shows that we're promoting. They don't cost you a penny.
Free!
Exactly. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop, including Brother by Pearl Jam. Also some Green Day. We got Kings of Leon, Bad Religion, Smashing Pumpkins, and more next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
I first heard that song, the first time I ever heard that song in my whole life was about this time of day on this very radio station. Our friend Jed the Fish played that Nirvana song back in 1991, and I thought, I've never heard anything like this before, and you know what? Still sounds great.
Best song ever.
Before that, Paramore, it's Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde for a Thursday afternoon. Our friend Omar, who works with us on the morning show, has joined us.
Speaking of tardes,
troubles.
Hey.
Speaking of tardes, exactly.
Omar is a dude who works production here at the radio station, and he does not have cable or satellite.
Yep.
So he's got the analog, the ear antennas.
Rabbit ears, rocking it
old school.
I don't
know anyone with rabbit ears.
I don't either. And apparently the date now has come and gone from which they're going to go to all digital signal, but they pushed it back a little bit in case everyone doesn't have
it. Yeah, the new date's June 12th.
Okay, so you had regular ear antennas for TV.
Right, and then, you know, I heard about the digital coming, so I went out, got the little converter box for the analog TV that I have upstairs.
Thinking, wow, now I'm going to get it all.
Yeah, I'm going to be set, dude. Right. All these extra channels and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, all the digital broadcasts were happening, you know, a couple of weeks prior to the February due date because they wanted people to try it out and get, you know, situated. So I connect.
Before we find out what happened, what's the percentage? What are they saying these days are the people who are actually affected by this transference to digital? Because how many people don't have cable or satellite at this point? Is it 10% or what do you think?
So, yeah, probably 10%. I mean, I know the number's really, really tiny. I know I'm in a small percentage,
and,
for sure.
And your reason, as you've explained to us in the past, is you don't watch that much TV. It's not worth the $50 a month to pay for,
not worth
it,
the $50, exactly. I watch a lot of DVDs. I love watching movies. But, you know, TV, for me, it's not worth it. I watch, you know, a couple of programs, Family Guy, Simpsons, Lost, and that's
so
about it.
So you made the switch, and you probably watched Lost in High Def. That's cool.
No.
What do you mean, no?
So the night I decided to test out the box. It was a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. It was right before Lost. I was like, all right, I'm going to watch Lost all digital, hook it up, don't get channel 7. So I'm like, maybe I hooked it up wrong, check it out.
Did you
whatever.
Check other channels or just 7?
Well, no, I was just working on channel 7 because it was close to being 9 o'clock, right? So then
I'm, you know, fidgeting with the antenna. It's kind of coming in, but you know how it does. It doesn't, you know, go staticky. It goes stuttery.
Yes.
You know, it stutters.
Yes.
So it's getting a stutter, you know. So Kazzy, my fiance, was, you know, get on. You know, what the F? You know, we're going to miss Lost.
I can't find a Lost when it's not stuttery. Yeah. I can't figure it out. I don't know what's going on.
So then I hold it up like halfway above, like, you know, where a TV stand is.
You held the antenna?
Yeah, I held the antenna up and it came in perfectly.
Okay.
Right? So we're all like, all right, sweet. You know, but it was like, you know, I couldn't move from it because if I would put it back on the TV stand,
it went away.
It'd go away.
You stood for a full hour holding the antenna?
Yeah. Because he's like, we got to watch it. I don't want to miss anything. And we don't have TiVo or anything like that, you know, so we couldn't tape it.
Dear God, this is the dark ages.
And, really, what's going on with you?
Yeah, but sometimes when I put it back on the TV stand for during, like, commercial break or something, we would get the audio only, but not the actual image.
Oh good.
Yeah.
So we did a little research, and I found an article from the LA Times that says Channel 2 and perhaps Channel 7 in some people's TVs are not going to come in better, but worse in places that have hilly terrain, especially Los Angeles.
After we watched Lost, I tried the channels. Channel 2 would not come in whatsoever.
At all.
What? Because it's not just lost it?
Yeah, in analog, it'll kind of come in weak, but in digital, it's either all there or nothing.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So now he's got nothing.
Nothing, yeah. And then, like, you know, they talk about all these extra channels and quotes that we're going to get. I got, like, 4 weather channels, okay? And then, like, one like, channel 4.4 is just like some dude skiing down slopes all day long. There's nothing there. But it's all bogus.
But you can't get channel 2. You can't get channel 7.
No 2, no 7.
Oh my God.
Not sweet. Not sweet.
So, are you gonna break down then and pay for cable or satellite?
Yeah, probably not.
Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes. You always have a decision to make when you go to your email and somebody sends you a link to a video. Yesterday, for instance, many times I received the 911 call for the lady with the chimp who was ripping her friend's face off, and I had to make a decision. Whether do I listen to that or do I not listen to
that? Yeah, I didn't listen to that. I didn't want to hear that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
That unfortunately sounds horrible.
It was a mistake. I should have listened to that. But then this morning, God bless the K-Rock listener who sent us the porno video of a woman with a tail on her back. Now, what do I do with that? I got to watch that, right?
I don't know how you don't.
Chick's got a tail.
She does have a tail. It's one girl, one tail, I think. And it is really disturbing.
It's a tail.
Now,
I mean,
it's not just
like
a tail. It's a tail.
Yeah.
A full tail on a human being.
Oh, my God.
We've had a lot of conversations on this show over the years, and I think it might have started with one of those movies that Viggo Mortensen, the actor, did a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Where people were calling up saying, yeah, I could see his tail a little bit. Mm-hmm. The one where he played the mobster, right?
Yep.
And then we started talking about people with tails, and people were calling in. I used to know a guy. I used to have a girlfriend. She had a tail and stuff like that. And I'm fascinated because I always wanted a tail. I always thought it'd be the coolest thing in the world to have a tail because you know, it'd be like having a third hand, right?
Yeah, I don't
pick up the phone with it. You can play pool with it. I mean, you can do so much cool stuff if you had the right tail, right?
Sure.
But I've never seen a chick with a tail like this one in this video.
And here's the funny thing about Psycho Mike. He's the guy who brings us in all the disgusting videos.
The
and
grosser,
shows
the better.
When he knows we'll hate it, and he does it just because it makes him laugh. But he can't take a tail. For some reason, he starts getting physically sick.
That's the one thing that gets him.
So since you made us watch, I'm going to go ahead and make you watch this now. One girl, one tail.
Oh.
Mike, what is it with you and people with tails? I mean, it's not something you encounter very often. Why does it upset you so much?
I don't know. It's something in my subconscious. I can't really identify what it is, but it really grosses me out. And like you guys said, I watch extreme violence, extreme pornography, and nothing really seems to get at me, but something about the tail.
All right, here we go. One girl, one tail.
She's cute, isn't she?
Here we go.
She is pretty.
So you told me on the phone that you have something really, really crazy that you want to show me.
Yeah, I do.
You told me what it was, but I mean, are you serious?
Dead serious.
She's serious.
Okay, you sure you want to show me?
Yes.
She Stay does. She
wants Get ready, to Mike.
Oh my goodness.
Look at that.
That's a real tail. What's that black thing? Is that part of your tail, too?
She has a tail.
Oh, it's your dress.
Okay, she's putting in work there.
And I think she's happy. Look how she's wagging that little tail.
You're dissing.
No. Mike, you okay?
Okay, now here's the part where he reaches down. Oh, she's wagging it!
She's wagging your tail. She looks like Brian on The Family Guy.
She's wagging her tail.
That's not real.
That is real. Yeah. That's
sad.
Real.
Sad.
Look at that.
I know they can do anything with movie magic, Kevin, but what porn budget is going to allow for this kind of prosthetic to make a fake one that looks that good? I mean, I almost think that's got to be real.
Mike is dry heaving.
You okay, Mike?
He's throwing up in the trash can.
Oh, he's not. He's not really throwing up.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike.
I figured going missionary might hurt. Huh?
Hey, take it easy, dude. We're on the radio here. If she turned around, she would stab him right in the heart. She would kill him.
Mike, you didn't really hurl, did you?
That's bullshit.
Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde.
Mike, come on.
Seriously.
Did we take the video away? It's over. It's okay.
That was not pleasant.
He was not as thrilled with the video as we were, Ralph, apparently. Psycho Mike, when he saw it.
Well, he's weak.
He's weak.
Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde for a Thursday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Does no one listen to us?
That's correct.
Does no one pay attention?
That's correct.
We come up with these gems, these kernels of wisdom every morning, every afternoon, every Saturday. We're putting it out there. No one listens?
Right. That's just now occurring to you?
Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi are starting a family. And guess which one's getting pregnant?
Oh, no.
Better be Ellen.
Nope.com.
Better be Ellen.
Portia de Rossi is prepared to go through IVF 10 times if she has to, says a source.
IVF being
the in vitro fertilization process.
Like the Octomom.
Exactly. Whatever it takes to get pregnant, she'll do it.
Okay. Why not just take one of the Octomom's babies that are already here that need a family?
Good point.
Or puff up DeGeneres. Who needs her looking hot?
Yeah.
Who would even notice? Come on. Well, Ellen's put a couple pounds, but she doesn't look really any worse.
Doesn't Portia have that new TV show, that Better Off Ted, that I've been seeing advertised that's supposed to debut this spring?
Yeah.
Then she shouldn't be getting fat.
I think she'll have plenty of free time after that hits the air. Don't you worry. Carve up much of her year. Don't you worry.
Her goal is to have a baby. They'd love a boy, says sources. She's been changing her eating habits. Her goal is to gain a few pounds before they start the process. It just gets worse, this story. Every time I read it, just, oh, look at this story.
What?
Bone Thugs and Harmony have announced they are working on a new song, a duet, with legendary hip-hop artist Kevin Federline.
This is worse than Armenian genocide.
I'm sorry, you said legendary hip-hop artist. And then you said Kevin Federline.
We're going to make it a multi-platinum album, says Lazy Bone. We're going to prove y'all wrong, TMZ. Kevin Federline is going to be platinum when Bone Thugs and Harmony is done with him.
Save that story.
Yes, please do.
They're working right now on a track called Paparazzi Music. The name of the song. I'm not kidding.
Paparazzi Music.
The name of the song.
Wow.
Apparently,
have they heard
Lazy
him?
Bone says the track will be a soundtrack for when you're chasing people down.
I can't even believe that's something that's real.
That is.
That just happened. So, congratulations.
Wow.
Oh my God, really?
And in more music news, Coldplay would like to give you a free album. Just heard Coldplay live there.
I would like them to give me a free album as well.
They would like to put together a live album, and then during their summer tour, when you show up for the dates and you walk into the venue, they hand it to you as a gift.
And then you can leave.
Really?
You don't even have to stay for the concert.
Right, just listen to the car on the way home.
I think Prince did this a couple of tours ago. Remember, you got a copy of his new album with the purchase of a ticket that you got at the venue.
I do remember. Well,
with Prince, you get what you pay for with a free CD.
Yeah.
But with Coldplay, that's worth a few bucks right there.
That's an interesting idea. I hope they do it.
Chris Martin says, we're playing a lot of shows in the summer. And I think what we'd like to do, bearing in mind the recession we are in, is record a live album and then give it as a gift. He said he's still trying to work out the details with the label. Obviously, it's a bit tricky in terms of record contracts and things, but it would be great, he says. So, maybe this year when you go to see Coldplay, you'll get a free CD.
How about maybe they should just give us like a $50 gift certificate to iTunes or something, and then we could make the choice.
Or a $50 gift certificate to like Sizzler.
Fine.
So we can get dinner after the meal.
Either
if they
way.
Really want to help us out, pay for my babysitter, rent me a car, just come on, Coldplay, you're loaded. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress, singer Hailey Duff is 24 years old. Got to suck to be the actress, singer, older sister of Hillary Duff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're
watch
right.
The, watch your little sister just blow up into stardom, and you're left tagging behind her on red carpets trying to get your face in photos.
Hailey was the actress in Napoleon Dynamite, right?
Mushy? Yes. I don't know.
Am I way wrong on that? That's the role I always think of when you mention her name.
Yes, absolutely correct. Benicio Del Toro from Traffic is 42 years old today. You know, he's one of the few actors ever to be nominated for an Oscar for a performance given in two languages. There's only been three people to ever do it. He did it in Crash. No, in Traffic. That's what I meant.
Traffic.
I knew it was a one-word movie. He did it in Traffic. Penelope Cruz is nominated this year for performing in two languages in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And Marlon Brando did it in Godfather 2 when he was playing Vito Corleone. He gave a performance in Italian and in English.
Sure.
Boring!
Come on! It's Oscar time. It's Oscar trivia. Apparently, was that Bean?
Apparently Homer is
that
not.
Was that Bean saying that my story was boring?
That was Homer Simpson.
Bean played that of all people?
Homer, I don't have anything to do with that.
Homer busted into the airwaves. We have no say over it.
It's like Quasimodo coming down off the bell tower in Notre Dame and saying, hey, wow.
Boring.
You're not a good-looking fella. Yeah. You should think about a makeover. Seal is 46 years old today. Justine Bateman turns 43. Jeff Daniels is 54. And Dave Wakeling of General Public and English Beat is 53. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. What about tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Friday?
How to get into porn? We'll tell you that.
Okay.
Oscar drinking games tomorrow. Ooh. Spencer Pratt's a pussy. We'll tell you about that. And Eliza Dushku on the program. And Jimmy Kimmel. And did I mention Eliza Dushku?
Yeah. From Dollhouse.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Jimmy's got a big post-Oscar show this
Sunday. Yeah, whatever. Eliza Dushku is going to be here.
I'm just curious to know who he's going to have on.
I'm just telling you that she's going to be
here. Eliza Dushku talks a lot about actors who speak in two languages in movies and nominated performances. I hope that's part of the effort.
You.
Nicole Alvarez is next. She's got 60 minutes of commercial-free K-Rock music. Why not Chevelle the Red as part of it? Kings of Leon, Green Day, Killers, Soundgarden, and more next on K-Rock.